Thank you. My name's Doug Noble. I'm a county board supervisor for the 17th district, which is Pleasant Prairie. This is my first meeting on this particular committee in probably 20 years, but some 20 years ago, I was the chairman of this committee once before, so, and I did for several years, at least 10 years, represent Bristol. So I'm familiar with some of the things that are happening here, and I was asked to chair the committee because I have done it in the past, and the former chairman is now the vice chairman of the county board and couldn't do this position anymore. So with that, we'll begin the meeting. It's a public hearing. In the course of the public hearing, we will read into the record the particular item on the agenda. Then we will ask the petitioner to come forward and state their name and address for the record and explain what they're requesting. And then the committee, members of the committee, including youth and governance, will be able to ask questions if they have any. And then at that time, then we'll ask for people in the community or in the crowd if they would come and speak for the petition. And then after we've asked that twice, we'll ask for people that want to speak against a particular petition. We'll also read into the record any letters that we may have received from citizens for and against. And we'll find out from staff, Andy, what the town's recommendation is, and then we'll proceed with a motion and a vote and go on to the next item on the agenda. So with that, Andy, want to begin with the first item, which is comprehensive plan amendment for Larry Holst of Salem.
All right, we'll do it. Thank you. Number five is the comprehensive plan amendment for Larry Holst in the town of Salem. It's a public hearing of proposed comprehensive plan. Larry Holst, 12521 Bristol Road, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104, owner, requests an amendment to adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from commercial to medium density residential on tax parcel number 664120283035 in the town of Salem. And we'll have on the screen the location for everyone. And you can see on the map, it's the area that is outlined in purple, which is also the red area. That's the area in question for item number five.
Would the petitioner come forward and tell us what they plan to do with the property? State your name and address for the record, and then...
Larry Holtz.
Larry Holtz, 12521 Bristol Road, Bristol, Wisconsin. Looking to... Currently a bar right now in a residential area, looking to remove the bar and do two residential lots.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody in attendance that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody present that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody present that would like to speak against this petition? If you want to speak against, please come forward, and we have another microphone over here. Anybody would like to speak against? Do we have any letters from citizens?
We do.
Oh, excuse me?
Could I ask a question? What the medium density residential, what does that mean? Is there a...
Please come forward, state your name, and then ask your question, and we can answer it, I hope. There's a press the button to turn the mic on.
Thank you. My name's Larry Curran. I'm the property adjacent to that property, just to the right on that screen, and 27614 113th. My question is, what does medium density mean? Is that apartment? Is that condominium? What is a medium density property or zoning?
The medium density would allow for single-family use of the different zoning classifications. There's R3, 4, and 5 are the different classifications. The zoning that is of your property is R5.
Right.
And just so you're aware, is that the next item on the agenda is for the rezoning of this. If this were to be approved, and they are looking for it to be the same zoning district, R5, single-family residential.
Single-family residential would be the only thing allowed built?
Excuse me?
Single-family residential
Correct.
Would be the only...
Single-family would be the only permitted
okay.
residential use.
All right, thanks. I have no objection. I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Anybody else that has a question? Speak against. All right, seeing no one coming forward, then we're going to ask to see if there's anybody who, any written correspondence that needs to be read into the record for or against?
We do have an email that we received on April 30th, 2014 from Linda Valentine, 10816 269th Avenue, Trevor, Wisconsin, 53179. It goes as follows. Board members, I have called and have spoken to Larry Host about this very issue. I gave him my email to send a request to me for this map. He never sent the request. I also called and spoke to Brad Zotke and Pat Casey of Town of Salem about this issue, as they were involved in the buyback program while I was in the office, which then pertained to the three parcels in yellow, which there is an attached map with this. This communication was prior to the town P&Z meeting. They both had the information prior to the P&Z meeting, but I do not know if it was introduced to the board for their review and consideration. Notice that this is a floodplain area where he is planning on building two residential buildings at the avenue where the dock is seen on the image. This map is what was used in approaching the three parcel owners to buy back their properties as part of a mediation program. The three were approached, but unfortunately the housing sales market fell at the very moment, and the appraised values of these properties were at the time less than their open mortgages. They did not participate in the program. The yellow was in the first tier area of buyback, the green in the second tier of the buyback, and any of these green properties could have been approached, and one was also declined because of financial loss. All these properties should have some record of this on the county files and should be available to all requesters. If anyone of our elected officials allow for any building on the very properties that are being purchased back with taxpayers' monies, they are not working for us, the citizens. In the case of Holst, it is unfortunate that he purchased without due diligence, and if the information as included here was not available to him, then shame on those who didn't make available to him. If the boards are of the mind to approve the host request, then certainly to protect the taxpayers in county town, there should be stipulation that all municipalities and government agencies be held harmless for allowing development in a known flood area, and that all documents that any potential homeowner may have access to will reflect such an encumbrance. In short, they develop, build, and purchase at their own risk from now until forever. This approval of development and then building in areas where people will lose their hard-earned monies has to stop. It should have stopped with Ball, the previous owners to Holst, but that opportunity passed. It should stop with Holst. I clearly say deny any further development on these parcels. Thank you. We also have an email response from the town. This is from Brad Zotke. We received this email on April 30th, 2014. It says the property owners and the Andor town did not pursue the grant because it required that the parcel owners be willing applicant and be willing to sell their parcel and property. It was also our understanding that at the time this grant was available, monies were going to buy out and elevate problems in floodway areas, Fox River, before being available for the Camp Center Lake floodplain overlay districts. Thanks, Brad Zotke, Town of Salem.
So the concern was she thought that Salem was going to pursue purchasing these property, but they never did, basically. So it's kind of a non-issue.
Right. There was a grant program, I think, that the town engineer had presented to the town that they could apply for to try to purchase flood-prone properties in the town. The town chose not to I guess, pursue that grant, and there is a difference between the floodplain area along the Fox River as opposed to the floodplain area here, which actually is in the flood fringe, which does allow for building of structures as long as they're floodproofed, and that is much different than in the floodway where structures are not permitted.
Okay. Supervisor Decker has a question.
So prior to building a home, they'd have to build it under certain criteria, so it is flood, so it won't flood?
Correct. For any of these properties that we would see in the next map there, being in the flood fringe of the floodplain of Camp Lake, they do have to build 2 feet above the floodplain elevation and backfill around the home to protect any flooding that could occur.
Okay. Thank you.
A little bit more on that. I had a long, lengthy conversation, but for the clarification, wasn't aware that there was a floodplain designation called flood fringe that was capability of being rebuilt or building upon it. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Back in 1993, the county asked for our regional planning commission to do a study on the Camp Center Lake area, a floodplain study. And when that study came out, it was determined that there was many homes around both lakes that were affected. And being that it was a very urbanized area and the flooding was not riverine or from a river, it was from a lake, it was determined that the best approach for this to protect the properties and any future would be to allow for building in the flood fringe area. That's the areas where it would, where the water is not currently existing, but where the water could flood to, and none of the water was free flowing. It just basically increases the lake level, and if the home was floodproofed, which is being built 2 feet above the floodplain elevation, and that's not just the elevation of the existing home, it's 2 feet above what the elevation of the property would be if it did flood to its maximum potential, the 100-year floodplain, that it would be protected and it would preserve the property values of the homes that existed and those that have invested in owning the vacant lots that exist there today.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Supervisor Skolitsky.
Mr. Holtz, were you aware of these stipulations with regards to your building plans?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any reservations or problems meeting those requirements?
No.
And Andy, more importantly, is the meeting those stipulations, does that create any of an issue for any of the existing homes that are currently there? Their neighbors?
It does not. It has been determined that if every property was floodproofed around Camp Center Lake, it would not increase the flooding on any other potential property.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other supervisor have a question? Any questions from Youth and Governance? Any questions from staff? Then I would think a motion would be in order. Well, what's the recommendation from the town?
Yeah, and before I get to that, this matter and all the other matters except those that come up later that are tabled were posted in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice. They were posted on May 1st, 2014 and May 6, 2014. From the town of Salem, we did receive recommendation. Their town board met on May 12, 2014, and the motion carried unanimously.
I make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan amendment.
Second.
Who's the second from? Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skolitsky to approve the motion. Roll call is required on this particular motion, starting with Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance are both ayes. Starting from my left, Supervisor Gable?
Aye.
Decker?
Aye.
Supervisor Noble votes aye. Supervisor Skolitsky?
Aye.
And Supervisor Retzleff?
Aye.
So it's unanimous. Everybody?
I said
aye. I should probably wait to be last. All right. Then One side note, this is actually, for those of you that are here tonight, this is, I'm told, like the biggest agenda we've had in several years, so it might take a little longer than normal, but they didn't tell me that when he asked me to chair this committee. All right, next item on the agenda would be item number 6, the rezoning for the same property, Larry Host.
Yeah, item number 6, Larry Host, 12521 Bristol Road, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104. Owner requesting a rezoning from B2 Community Business District to R5 Urban Single Family Residential District on tax parcel number 664120283065 in the town of Salem. On the screen, we will show the map for this. Again, you can see the area highlighted in this case in yellow.
Do we still ask him? Petitioner, are we going to do anything? What he's going to do?
We wouldn't have to. We could just say it because he already said it.
Yeah, the petitioner has already said what he intends to do with it, with this particular piece of property. So we'll ask then if there's anybody in attendance that would be against the rezoning. One gentleman already asked the question relating to the rezoning, but if there's anybody else that would like to speak in favor or have a question regarding the rezoning, is there anybody here that would like to speak against the rezoning? All right. Anybody that would like to speak against the rezoning? Seeing no one coming forward, then, Andy, what is the recommendation from the town?
We received information from the town regarding this request. Town board met on May 12, 2014. The motion carried unanimously.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, seconded by Supervisor Skolinski. On the question? Any questions? Youth and governance? How would you vote?
Aye.
And is this a roll call?
It is not, yeah.
And
aye.
County Board of Supervisors, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No one is opposed. The motion carries.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda then, I didn't finish. The next item then is number 7, the conditional use permit for DNT properties in the town of Salem.
Number 7, D&T Properties, 1731 216th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Owner, Dr. Mary Sue Lux, West Osha Veterinary Hospital, 903 South 2nd Street, Silver Lake, Wisconsin, 53170. Agent, requesting a conditional use permit to allow veterinary service in the B2 Community Business District on tax parcel number 654-120-091-0243, located in the town of Salem. The item will show on the screen for the location. And you can see the highlighted area on the south side of Highway 50.
All right, is the petitioner here? Please come forward and state your name, your address for the record, and explain what the request, what you're doing.
John Wallenkamp, CUNY Architects, 10505 Corporate Drive, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Mary Sue Lux, 1731 216th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
What we're proposing here is a two-story structure, south on Highway 50. Each level of the facility is 7,350 square feet. The main public access will be on the northeast corner or northwest corner. I'm not sure, Andy, if you got the floor plan if you could put up.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, the icons all got mixed up, so let me search for it.
Or if you want to start with the site plan. As mentioned, the main facility will be entered from the northwest corner. Majority of the parking is on the north side of the facility. All the lighting will be focused off the building. Maximum foot level, foot candles will be of 2 at the parking lot. Code allows 4. Within 20 foot of the property line, we're at 0, so no light gets near the property line. Along the east side, along the residential property, we are constructing a 6-foot high cedar fence, 72 feet, to help screen the facility, and we're going to hug that about a foot off the property line, also allowing to leave as much vegetation on the east side of the facility as possible. The main access drive off of Highway 50 is a shared drive with a future tenant on the west side. There's no development proposed there, but it's a common drive for both parcels. The existing pond that's on site is going to be used as the retention detention pond. Stormwater quality will be handled through the regrading on the east side of the facility. If you can go to the floor plan, Andy.
I need to open up a different item here. Just one moment.
The entire facility is going to be a masonry concrete facility between masonry and a stone material. Very durable, soundproof facility. Once the plan comes up, you'll notice the majority of the exam rooms are in the center. We do have a small kennel area on the northeast part of the building, but there's no windows on the east side of the facade, making it very soundproof. All the kennels are 100% masonry. The upper right of the plan. The door on the east side is an employee door only. No animals will be entered through that door. Everyone visiting the facility will, as I mentioned, will be coming up the upper left part of it, which is the northwest side of the facility. The lower level is fully unoccupied right now. There's no intended use for the facility for the lower level at this point. With that, if you have any questions. I should note the times of operation is Monday through Thursday from 8 to 8, Friday from 8 to 5, Saturday 8 to 1, and they're closed on Sundays.
So the first level is a walkout ground level? Is
The first level is walkout to the north elevation. The facility is built into the hill. The south elevation, the lower level, exits to the south.
Okay.
So the south facade is a 2-story facade. The north facade is a 1-story facade.
Okay. So on the north side, the veterinary hospital is on the ground level.
Ground level, correct.
On the north side, okay.
The upper right shot is essentially looking northwest.
Okay.
And the bottom photo is pretty much straight on from Highway 50. In the bottom left, you'll see it's more of a 2-story looking structure.
Are there any questions from the committee before we ask for people for and against? Supervisor Skolitsky?
With regards to operation, is the facility is equipped to house animals overnight. Is that part of the business plan, or is it just daily?
It's rarely that any animals are overnight. Once in a while, a pet will be dropped off the night before, but
okay.
Most of the time, if they're ill, they have to go to a 24-hour care for the night, and maybe sometimes okay. The people bring it back in the morning.
And I appreciate the fact that it's mostly masonry. It's tremendously sound deadening, but you do realize you have some neighbors.
Well, I have neighbors now. I'm in the middle of Silver Lake.
I'm sorry, ma'am?
My practice right now is in the middle of Silver Lake with homes much closer than that home surrounding me with no issues.
Okay. And is there any long-range plans to change that mode of operation such that you would be housing animals with the occasional one or two? I'm not saying that, but...
No, I'm not interested in any boarding
okay,
facility.
Okay, kennel or boarding. That's not part of your business plan at
no.
this point in time. Okay, thank you.
Have you had a chance to read the conditional use conditions of approval?
Got it about an hour ago, but I did read it. Yes.
All right. And you're except, they're all accepted.
Yeah, most of those things are, were already, I think all of it was in our plan already, except the fence was a new thing.
Do we have something in there that says that no boarding, kenneling, other than
we do not.
A sick dog?
We don't have anything specifically, any specific condition regarding that, only with what was stated in their operational plan. If that's something that's of interest, we certainly can add a condition.
I would have no objection to that.
Yeah, we could, it's up to the committee, we'll continue on, but I think it might be that, because you know that if they can continue operating unless there's something in the conditions that they're in violation of. So if you don't specifically have something in the condition, it could happen. So I personally think that's something we may want to consider, but any other, anybody else?
Should we hear if anybody's got any concerns?
We can do that and come back to it?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Then that we can come back to the supervisor's questions. Are there any people in attendance that would like to speak for this petition, in favor? Any people in attendance that would like to come forward and speak in favor? Seeing no one, is there anybody in the public that would like to speak against this petition? Okay. Or if you each would like to speak, or is one of you representing all of you, or whatever, but it, however you want to do it, you need to come forward to the microphone up here.
It would be best for Andy to read the letters first so that we can not read the same thing over and over.
We can do that. Sure, we'll come back then and ask for anybody that would like to speak against, if there's something in a letter that you feel that didn't get covered, is I think is what you're asking, right?
I just think that we can.
Okay.
I'm sure they want to speak, but I think that most of it would be covered.
Are you wanting me to read yours into the record? Okay. We'll start with the email we received on April 9th, 2014. From MBR Products, Brian Filiatrout. Someone, this was written, it was forwarded to us, but it was written to Salem Town Board members. My neighbors and I wanted to make you aware of the setback requirement for the vet clinic being built on Highway 50. This clinic is the number one item on the planning and zoning presentation for the April 14th, 2014 regular board meeting. I and my neighbors, including Jeff Chopp, 262-496-9311, who is a neighbor directly east of the proposed veterinary hospital, will all be attending the board meeting and wanted to make sure you're aware of this setback. We originally objected to the rezoning from A2 to B2 at the March 28, 2012 planning and zoning meeting. We received a notice from Brad Zalke to attend this meeting, but when we attended the meeting to object to this spot zoning change, we were all told by Brad that our objections could not be heard because we were all part of Paddock Lake. This, of course, was not the truth. So the property was rezoned and sold, and now the neighbor next to the proposed clinic will have a parking lot, lights, and a lighted sign right next to his house. Not to mention that he has dogs, and now he will deal with his dogs having to contend with a building that has kennels also located right next to his home. We were able to foresee these problems 2 years ago before this property was sold to the veterinary clinic, but the project sailed through Salem over our legitimate objections. The proposed building is nearly 15,000 square feet on a 2-acre parcel with a pond. I have no idea how they plan to meet the fire code in such a structure. Yes, it could be done, but it would be expensive. We did not receive a notice from Brad Zalke regarding the conditional use permit that planning and zoning just passed for this property. If changes are not made to this plan now, this most likely would be approved through Kenosha County. The variance for this setback would be included in the conditional use according to the county. The way this is all being done has been extremely deceptive and has taken rights away from my neighbor and will obviously impact the value of his land greatly. It is also worth mentioning the safety of numerous vehicles coming in and out of commercial property so close to his driveway. These are the types of things that you would expect the Planning and Zoning Committee to address. It is obvious that the Planning and Zoning Board of Salem did not do their homework because they were apparently unaware of the 100-foot setback requirement for this type of business. I am in hopes that you will request that this plan be modified to meet the required setbacks. This problem was created by allowing a small sliver of property to be spot zoned, and that should not be Jeff Chopp's problem. We have an additional letter from Randy Bory. Bristol Veterinary Service, 17622 Burlington Road, Union Grove, Wisconsin. In support of my neighbors who are going to be near the proposed veterinary hospital, I would like to give you my experience in a similar matter. On July 3rd, 2013, I met with Ben Feeblecorn and Bradley Zopke concerning my plans to add on to the existing veterinary building at 26975th Street. And just for the record, that's the property north of this, a little bit to the west. The building is located on 1 acre of land that is 150 feet wide. The building is roughly 32 feet from the east and west lines and 73 feet from the north lot line. My proposal in order to expand the existing building was to get an amendment to the conditional use which states a 100-foot setback is needed for a veterinary building to the nearest lot line. My plan was to add another 43 feet so a total of 75 setback would be established. Their comments were that the land I own around this parcel was designated in the future for medium density housing, that someday a house may be near this clinic, and that since I own the surrounding acreage, they would prefer a 100-foot setback. However, they did not discourage me from applying for the 75-foot setback. My concern to them was that my partner with my proposal of 75-foot setback would only be required to purchase an additional 0.85 acres, but with the additional setback of 100 feet would need to purchase 1.35 acres. This new land addition required zoning to be changed from medium residential housing to commercial. Ben Feeblecorn had a concern that if I added the 1.35 acres 100-foot setback for the addition, that in the future I may be back to add more land for future expansion. So he proposed that the land east of 100 feet from the addition, 270 feet north of the addition, and an additional 300 feet west of the addition, roughly 4 acres, be changed from medium residential housing to commercial. This would blend in with already commercial ground to the west and allow for future expansion. I thought this was an excellent recommendation, so I filled out the necessary paperwork and paid the fees, attended township and county meetings, and did get this passed. I appreciate Ben for suggesting this. After getting this passed, I met with Ben and Andy Bueller on September 17, 2013, for advice on the addition. My question was that since the clinic could now be expanded, meeting the required 100-foot setback, instead of adding the 4 acres to the parcel, I would just add, parcel, could I add just enough to meet the 100-foot setback so my partner could afford to buy the new land? Ben stated that the original agreement was based on the new 4 acres and would prefer that. I have to say that I did meet with Ben in the spring of 2014 and he did state that perhaps the land requirement could be lowered. In support of my neighbors, it is ironic that I had to meet the 100-foot setback because of future medium residential housing near my veterinary addition, whereas a current Salem Township residence property will be within the 100-foot conditional use plan for the property in question. Perhaps D&T properties could purchase the 4 acres of land that is for sale immediately west of their property, thus putting the new building 100 feet west of the neighbor's property. After all, that is what I am expected to do. One could appreciate the concerns of immediate neighbors affected by this proposal. In 1989, when 4-lane Highway 50 was constructed, land use recommendations took away their 300-foot alternative commercial frontage because of Salem Township survey indicated the community would like to see open fields along Highway 50 only to have these existing households on Highway 50 look at and live by commercial properties that were to be rejected. As in adjuvant, I sense the outcome of such meeting you are having based on past experiences. I have attended meetings regarding the 1989 decision to change our 300-foot commercial zoning because of spot zoning and residents wanted to view open fields. I have attended proposed land use plan informative meetings regarding our Highway 50 corridor and agreed to the proposal only to have them change on the right of voting as Salem Township Planner Ed Needham did on the parcel of concern going from residential to commercial. I have been to planning meetings on sewer line construction and agreed to the proposals knowing it would cost me $3,000 only to have the route changed at construction time in order for a neighbor along Highway 50 to develop his land, and it now costed me $69,000. Sincerely, Randall H. Bory. I don't have any others to read in.
Is there anybody in the public that would like to come forward? If please state your name, address, and your opposition.
My name's Brian Filiatro. I live at 26701 75th Street. I'm located three properties down from this property. And from the very beginning, when this all started back in 2012 for us, we have been to the meetings. We have been given misdirection because of the fact that we're not part of Paddock Lake currently. We will be in 2025. This obviously wasn't done by Kenosha County. This was done by Salem at the meetings with them. It seemed from the very beginning that we wanted to ignore my neighbor's, you know, residential property where his home is to try to accommodate something that we foreseen was going to be a problem from the get-go. This property was originally spot zoned. It shouldn't have been. This is why we have smart growth plans. You don't take one little piece of property in the middle of a, yeah, it's Highway 50, but that doesn't mean we condemn everything. And in light of how close this large building's going to be on 1.7 acres, it's just really too bad that between the county and Salem that they couldn't have foreseen this as being an issue. This was well known from the beginning that this was going to be a veterinary clinic when Norm Brandis was looking for rezoning. This was no big surprise. I looked into possibly purchasing the property because Norm Brandis was going into bankruptcy. At the time, at the meetings, and also from Ben Feeblecorn, that's his last name, Feeblecorn?
Mm-hmm.
We were told that in order to buy the property, stipulation would be that by October of 2012, the property would have to be cleaned. To date, it is not clean. That stipulation was overlooked. It hasn't been withheld to the property owners or to the property itself. Part of the deal was in October of 2012, this property was supposed to revert back to A1, or A2, excuse me, because that criteria was not met. To this day, it hasn't been met. And this was something that really wasn't a big issue to us from the very beginning, but obviously we would like to turn back the, you know, the clock on this because we feel from the beginning my neighbor's property, there's going to be a lot of personal freedoms that are no longer going to be available to him. One of them being he's not going to be allowed to shoot his gun in his property anymore because he's going to be so close to a commercial property. Obviously a veterinarian clinic, that's going to be a huge issue. I have talked to Andy about this. I've talked to Ben about it. I did mention to Andy that, you know, it's surprising that nothing was done to try to offer a screening or anything, and miraculously we have screening today. The sad thing is that we have communication with the people that are petitioning to take something from somebody else, but we never try to make communication with the person that's going to be most affected, which is Jeff Chopp. That's wrong. And we have tried to do everything we can to get the county and the town, more so the town, to see the light of day on this, and we've been ignored. The 100-foot setback that is an issue, because, you know, really we're grasping at straws now. We're at the point now the property's been rezoned, and now we're trying to find a way to minimize the impact on my neighbor. And this was updated in 8.5 of 94. It says, animal hospitals, shelters, and kennels, and veterinary services in B2 and B5 districts, animals shall be kept within an enclosed structure, and no structure or animal enclosure shall be located closer than 100 feet to a property boundary. I mean, the main reason for that, one obviously is noise, which obviously they have put brick on the building, but you know, my neighbor has dogs. There's how many dogs in a week are going to be out in that side of the property? If you look at we don't have the footprint. It's really set up for the animals to use the east side, where my neighbor's property is. It's going to impact his dogs. They're going to be curious constantly because this isn't like the same dog where neighbors have two dogs that get to know each other. This is going to be maybe 50, maybe 100 different dogs per week. And this is going to, I mean, the parking lot is, I don't know what the distance is, it looks like it's maybe 20 feet, 25 feet. You know, he's going to have lights. The one side of the property on the east side is where the kennels are, and there happens to be a service door there. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out where the animals are going to be coming in and out of this vet clinic. And this is the current owner, which She is my vet. I mean, we've been using her for, I'm not against the vet clinic. I'm against making this something that takes away from my neighbor. My neighbor lives on Highway 50, which is a disadvantage in itself. Now we're going to put something there, this monstrous building that is on a very small parcel, considering the pond and the parking lots, and he's going to be looking at lights. I don't know if the lights are designed to cut out at some point in time at night, or they're going to be on all night long. Obviously, this is going to impact him greatly. The safety issues, vehicles coming in and out. I know there was a talk of a turn lane being put in there, but vehicles will be leaving the property within, you know, 100 feet, give or take, to this commercial property that really shouldn't be next door to a residential district. Now, if you go down Highway 50 and you look at all these properties, you see pretty good barriers between businesses and residential. You know, and as far as animal clinics go, the only animal clinic that really that comes to play in this is not within Kenosha County's governance, which is in Village of Paddock, or the Village of Paddock Lake. And even that, I believe it's the Harris Veterinarian Clinic, the distance from that clinic to the nearest house is 100 feet in itself, and it's in right on a frontage area, which you would kind of expect it. This is typically growth starts in the middle and it works out. It doesn't start way down at the other end of the spectrum and then work in. And I just wish that the committee would take into consideration what's being taken from my neighbor. I don't feel it's having a huge impact on me. I shoot guns, and based on what I see, I can continue to do so. It's not that I would instigate that to cause trouble to her, I wouldn't. But that's a big deal. Him and his family shoot, trap, and they're not going to be able to do that now. And, you know, is that right? Because somebody wants to put a vet clinic that, you know, if the clinic was further down, the impact would probably be a lot less. It's, you know, the property, I understand when she bought it was this amount. I looked at purchasing it. It's too much money. And now that the property next door has come down greatly, maybe that's a consideration on their part. This is not an inexpensive building. It's a beautiful building, and it's a building that I think Kenosha County could be proud of having in our town. I mean, it's I'm all for commercial development, but not in the process of taking from one to give to another. So with that, I would ask you to listen to what I've said as far as some things that we can do possibly to minimize the impact on my neighbor. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else that would like to come and speak in favor, or I guess we're just on against now. Please state your name, address, and your concern.
My name is Jeff.
Turn it on again.
Oh, okay. Jeff Chop. I live at 26721 75th Street, Salem, where the property just to the east of where this plan is going into place. I don't want to rehash a bunch of stuff, but I want to tell you that it was very disheartening that when we were first notified of this entire thing, that we were denied the opportunity to even speak about it at the Salem Town Board. We were flat out told, nope, sorry, you're Paddock Lake, go take it up with Paddock Lake. Had we been given the opportunity to speak, maybe we could have resolved a lot of issues long before this. And it was just, it was wrong that we were even told that. And when I went to the last meeting and brought that up, it was said that we had our chance to speak, we should have spoken then. And I said, no, we were denied the right to speak. We were told, no, we could not speak because of this Paddock Lake thing. And it was, well, sorry, your opportunity is gone. So that is a major, major concern of mine. And also our standard of living, our way of life is going to change greatly. You know, with having our dogs in our property, they're going to be distracted and they're going to try and run off every time someone else's animals are being brought in. And it's going to be a major distraction. Having a building that size put 30 foot off of my property line is going to absolutely destroy my resale value as a residential piece of property. It's going to kill it. And then the proposal of putting a 7-foot cedar fence 1 foot off the property line means they're going to have to demo out all of the vegetation that stands as a natural sound and sight barrier between our property and theirs. So they're going to take away 20-foot trees to put a 7-foot wooden fence in. It's a step backwards. And then also, we do have family get-togethers, and we do enjoy having barbecues and skeet shooting, and that is also going to have to go away because we're going to have to abide by the laws that say you can't do anything within 300 feet of a building. Fine, I'll abide by the laws, but then shouldn't that building abide by the laws that say stay 100 feet off of the property line? Then I wouldn't have issues with my animals, and I wouldn't have issues with barbecues and family get-togethers. These things are put into place for a reason. They should be adhered to. And to have this whole thing just shoved down on us and not given the opportunity or the chance to even speak or object to it, it's just wrong. And I'm here to ask that the 100-foot setback be adhered to and a little bit more respect towards neighbors be put into place. And I would ask that you turn this down and say, take it back to the drawing board and see if, and maybe one time, have the people petitioning to do this, come knock on our door. Give us a call and say, oh, by the way, this is what we're planning on doing. We'd like your opinion. They never even bothered to do that. They just made sure that we couldn't speak and shoved it down our throats.
Question? We have a question.
Yes, sir.
Supervisor Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Were you able to speak at the county board meeting like this when it was rezoned?
This is the first one that I even heard about.
Well, she's talking about rezoning, when the rezoning came.
2 years ago.
The only thing that I heard about the rezoning was when it started out at the Salem Town Board meeting, and Salem told me that, no, I could not speak about it, that I had to go through Paddock Lake. And when I went to Paddock Lake said, no, I don't know what they're talking about, it's Salem. I had no idea that it ever went to the county town board. I was flat out denied to speak anywhere and was never given any information about where this rezoning was taking place.
Salem created a lot of confusion.
Did they tell you publicly you couldn't speak, or privately before the meeting you couldn't speak?
No, publicly.
Publicly on the record?
In front of a room full of people.
To be fair, they did let us speak, but they said that at some point in time they didn't want to hear it anymore. So listen, this is an issue between you and Paddock Lake. And that's where that was it. So Jeff went to Paddock Lake and they said, no, this is an issue with Salem. Part of this comprehensive plan, the way it was created, in this little sliver of property was created on a 10-minute meeting in 2007 where somebody decided it would be a good idea to make this B2 on a Wednesday night in 2007, a 10-minute meeting, and that's how this all started.
Had the piece of property been bought as it was, there's plenty of room to put that vet clinic anywhere and not interfere with anybody. But that cut out that little piece of pie right there on the corner of my yard, it just kills us.
Do you have that property? What it looked like prior?
I do not. But I think I just to make clear too is that I don't know what you received or didn't receive, but the county does do a mailing, which I hope you received a copy for this meeting.
And, yes, I did.
And then for when the rezone went through, you would have received also. The requirement is a mailing to everyone within 300 feet of the property.
I received a mailing for Salem. I don't remember if I saw one for the county or not. It's possible that one came in and I just didn't get it. The kids may have shuffled it off or something like that. But like I say, I did receive the one from Salem and did go attend that and was told, no, I'm sorry, you're Paddock Lake.
He was sent to Paddock Lake.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, a question for Andy. This was rezoned 2 years ago?
Yes.
Well, let's save our questions for Andy until we get done with the people that I want to speak against. Is there anybody else that would like to speak against? Thank you, sir. Would you come forward and the mic is on.
This
so.
Is a copy. What it once was, a yellow, the whole property would have been a yellow. That's what was busted out of the property.
My name is Andy Nielsen. I live at 26711 Sunnyfish Street, two properties to the east. In 2007, when it was rezoned to begin with, to even get the steps that it could be a commercial property, we were not notified by the county or anybody. And when we brought it up to Salem, their response to us was, well, we put a notification up in the town hall. And as far as in 2012, mailing going out from the county, this is the letter that I got for this meeting. It's the first letter I've gotten from the county of Kenosha in regards to this matter. Everything else has been through the town of Salem. It should have never been zoned at to begin with, or at least without us being heard. And unfortunately, when she bought it and decided that she was going to try to start this process, is really when it started bringing light to what was actually going on. And now we sit with our residential properties, and I don't want to be repetitive, you know, with what Randy and Jeff have already said, but, you know, it's true. We all have dogs. I know you're supposed to keep your dog on your property, but I live out in the county, so I don't have to have a fence. I should be able to let my dogs out. Now this is just going to entice them. It's something else I'm going to have to worry about. This should have never gotten this far. There's a serious flaw here that allowed all this to happen in this manner.
This is what the petitioner offered to the board during this. That's what they said they were going to do with the property.
All right. Is there anything else?
No, I just, you know, I really, hopefully we can figure a way out that this doesn't happen again, too, if this does go through, because that's just not fair to the residents at all.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else that would like to speak against this petition? Anybody else that would like to speak against this petition? Okay, then citizens' comments are closed.
Excuse me, sir.
Andy,
can we rebut a couple things?
Or? Sure.
Just maybe a couple helpful things. You want to go first?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Brian keeps mentioning that the property wasn't cleaned up on time. Our site, we purchased the property in October of 2012. We had 6 months to get rid of that. There was a house structure.
Can you speak a little closer in?
There was a house structure on that, and we got it off in the spring as soon as the weather allowed. The bank owns the other part of the property, and that has not been cleaned up, but that is not our property. Number two, most of the dogs will be coming in and out on the west side. That's when the clients are coming in. We rarely walk dogs. Number one, we do not want to have anything happen to one of our clients' dogs, so we tried to leave them in the building as much as possible. So the claim that the dogs will be walked and seen on that east side is kind of overstated. And the other thing, the lights will be dusk to dawn. They will not be on all night. Will be dusk to dawn. They will not be on all night, which was another one of his concerns.
And essentially, in evening hours when they close, the lights will be going off, except at the front, at the northwest canopy. The other thing, it was stated about the size of the building. Actually, by code, we could build 9,000 per floor. So the top level could be 9,000, the lower level could be 9,000. That's for that building without a sprinkler system. It could even be bigger with that. The other thing, too, is based on the zoning, you know, we're trying to be as friendly as possible. Our goal is to leave as much vegetation on that site. We'd be happy to walk with the neighbors and put the fence somewhere else. Our goal is to leave the vegetation. That was our number one thing to keep the screening, is to keep as much vegetation as possible. I think Mary Sue covered the rest. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Decker has a question for someone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you talked to the neighbors?
As far as
introducing yourself, telling them what you're doing?
I know them all. They're all my customers.
Did you talk to them about this project?
I ahead of time? No, I did not. No. I never in my wildest dreams thought we would have this kind of objection since I was across the street from them for the last almost 30 years. So I was shocked. We did talk to a couple of them after the last meeting. I have talked to Brian and Tammy about it.
Okay. So no, that's an issue with me because talking to your neighbors helps solve a lot of problems before you get to this point. We have that issue in another item on this agenda also. Question for Andy, I guess. Regarding the letter from Mr. Borey where he says that they need a 100-foot setback. Is that in our ordinances?
It is, and that's why even in this one, in the conditional use permit, there is a mention of the request to reduce that.
And is that usual that we reduce that? Because I see that in the letter from Mr. Borey that the county is saying, at least according to Mr. Borey, that 100 feet is what's required.
Right. With Mr. Borey, we were telling him exactly what the ordinance is, which that is true, and we were working with him on kind of future planning for his property in its entire build-out, and we were trying to envision all aspects to make sure that he had enough land to protect himself or to use for himself if he were to expand. He indicated that he had some ideas of having paddocks out there because he's a horse veterinary vet, and so there could be some horses out there, and so we were working with him on that and trying to make sure that was all incorporated in, and certainly the 100 foot is there, and he even had indicated too, you know, that he asked and we talked about that, do you have the opportunity to be able to reduce that, which a person can ask. We can't guarantee it, but a person can ask. A side note that we had learned too, I guess just so that everyone is aware, is that we knew that this was an issue out there, and so we had contacted the city of Kenosha just to see where they're at with their ordinance, because we know there's a lot of clinics in the city that are right in residential neighborhoods, so we wanted to learn how they worked with that. And they had indicated to us that they had a 50-foot setback from vet clinics, and that a year and a half ago they realized that was something they needed to look into and address, and they went through the process to amend their ordinance to eliminate that setback. They did not see it for their purposes that it was really needed when buildings are built in such a way that can deaden the noise. And so I guess at least for the committee and for them to explain of how the building's built and what relationship it has with noise at the current setback of what it's at, I think, is it 66 feet, John?
Yes.
As opposed to 100 feet, or if it was 10 feet of which a building could be put being zoned B2, that's the minimum setback from the side property line. I guess that's something here that we have to all talk about and figure out, is it appropriate or not.
Did you ever discuss with them that the setback is supposed to be 100, like you did talk to with Mr. Borey?
I believe we did.
Okay. Thank you.
Question. Supervisor Gable had one earlier.
This was rezoned 2 years ago?
I don't remember correctly, but I was just looking at the data on what was handed to us. Is that in 2012, the property was rezoned, and at that time, the certified survey map was submitted to divide the property into the two parcels that exist today.
Supervisor Skalitsky.
John, you'd mentioned earlier that the driveway for this parcel was going to be on the western half to allow for a shared use in the future. And I see there's also a second lot. It's not shown up there, but there is in this survey here. You do not currently own, or your client does not currently own that. The bank owns that lot.
Correct. Okay?
So when you talked about future plans or future share, what were your thoughts there? Because it sounds like you've got something.
Oh, part of the agreement on this lot, the drive off Highway 50 had to be a shared common drive. They didn't want two drives off Highway 50. So if you look at that, the entrance of the driveway, it's 50-50 on the west lot, 50, and the other 50% is on our lot.
Okay.
Part of the restriction of those two parcels, that was the agreement.
Obviously, we've listened to a lot of support and dissension regarding this project, as you will.
Yes, sir.
And witness to, and create some concerns by the committee. Is there any consideration, given that that second lot is currently on the market, that perhaps this project might be a better fit on a larger parcel? And maybe you haven't had time to really contemplate that because you've been planning on this.
I think we've always looked at the actual area of that lot, and this type of facility we feel fits very well on the parcel she has based on the lot to the south. As Andy mentioned, you know, you could put a drive-through bank on this lot and go almost 10 foot to the there's other uses that would fit in the B2. I really think in the long run here, maybe 3 years from now, we'll all be looking back and say we did the right thing, creating as much buffer as we've done and push this building as far west as we could. I don't think Mary Sue can speak, but I don't think she's looking at buying additional land.
No, I can't afford to buy anything else.
As the architect, is there any other rethinking that you can do with regards to the design that you could move further west?
I
considering think that that other lot is, I believe, is that B2 also, or is that
it is a? Not. It has
okay,
not
so
been rezoned.
Right. No. So you're kind of on an island, but there's not, you don't have a neighbor there right now.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any?
I've studied a little bit. What we could actually do on our parcel is if we wanted to come to an agreement in, say, 75 feet, I have room to move the building 9 feet and stay within our parcel, and I think get everything to work. My concern is, if you listen to some of the concerns, it doesn't solve the dog seeing our dog. If we're 100 feet away, they're going to see our dogs, our cats. So is the real argument that we're not meeting 100 feet, or they're going to see our dogs and cats? Because we could maybe try to come up with 75 feet. If everyone would be happy. Our goal is not to flood light. Our goal is to make this look like a residential type facility. That's what vet clinics tend to come off like. When you're bringing family animals to a clinic, you don't want a high-rise building. So I guess our goal was to kind of come off with that feel. Honestly, I apologize too. We typically do go see clients. We honestly didn't think this was an issue. I've actually worked for the previous client on this parcel for almost the last 10 years, and I've never heard of an issue come up on the parcel. Otherwise, we'd have done it. So we apologize for that piece. But I think listening to their concerns, maybe we can come up with some agreement that, you know what, we go 75 feet, and we can all be, you know, work together and get it to work.
I mean, clearly, you certainly understand where they're coming from. They've lived out there a lot of years. There is a distinct change in lifestyle, which I certainly sympathize with, because if it occurred to me, I'd be upset. So a lot of this is new to us as a committee. Mm-hmm. We're digesting a lot right now. And it may require us to just do a little bit more review and investigation, not to just flippantly say no or flippantly say yes, but to just study this a little bit more, at least from my perspective. I'm certainly leaning that way, which may be discouraging. But on the other hand, a lot of things have come to light right now that we certainly can't ignore as representatives of our constituents, as well as business owners. Because we certainly, nothing more difficult than having challenges with your neighbors, whether it's business neighbor or it's a residential neighbor, and constantly leading to issues or potential issues, okay? So we just need you to keep that in mind there. I looked at layout and on that one up there, and it does consume, granted you're limited by the pond, a lot of that parcel, mainly between the parking lot, not so much the building. I think you've done an excellent job of designing the building for it to look residential. I don't think that that's the issue. It really comes into just your neighbors really having a dramatic impact upon them. And in general, yeah, this one swatch of land in generally a residential area being zoned business. So I'm going to have to give this a little bit of
thought. I just have a question. If it's zoned business, I mean, I wouldn't have bought it if it wasn't zoned business. So I guess I understand the neighbors, you know. I understand their concern 100%. But it was zoned business by the county, and I bought it to put my business on. So I don't know if how you can, I mean, no disrespect, but can you say now I can't have my business there? Because I guess I don't understand, you know, why something is zoned business and then you say that you can't have a business there because of the neighbors.
Well, make no mistake, we're not saying that you can't have a business there. We're saying there are concerns with your neighbors around you with regard to how it is being there. As an example, as we talked about, 100-foot setback, that can be enforced, and that will potentially reduce the size of your business, which may not match with your business plan. That's why I say a lot of things have come up very quickly here in tonight's discussion that I think we as a committee just need to think about, because I'm just not going to make some flippant decision to say yes or no, because I just don't think it's fair to either side, and I just wanted to let you know where I personally am at, okay? Thank you.
Supervisor Resliff?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The one concern I have from these gentlemen that were speaking against it was
The
issue with Paddock Lake and Salem causing them some problems. Is there anyone here from Paddock Lake, the board, or either one of them coming here? I feel like a lot of that should have been resolved at the city level. I mean, we're hearing a lot of things here that are new to us, obviously. You're saying you weren't given your day in court. Someone said maybe you were. You didn't pay attention to a mailer that the county sent out, so forth. I sympathize with that to a certain extent. But like Mike is just saying, we're weighing a lot of things here that we're cold on. I mean, she buys a piece of land. It was all zoned properly. You guys are having to change some things. I don't know how much kind of attention the prior year cities took on this. They just approved it without any type of input from you guys, the neighbors. I think it's important. So I'm kind of siding with Mike that maybe a decision tonight, one way or the other, is not the right way to go. But I do sympathize with what you just said. So it's not like I'm, you know, don't want you to do that, have this. But I that's just my thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Greg. I got a question from Emily, Youth and Governance.
So Ashley and I were just discussing, Andy, so with the 100-foot setback, for those of us who are not well-versed in property and everything like that, do you have to legally enforce the 100-foot setback if it is in your outline as a city, like that you have to have that in that residential property? How can you not have to design that into your like layout?
The answer to that is it is a requirement currently as a condition in the zoning ordinance, but the committee, as in any condition that exists, does have the prerogative to adjust that in one way or the other. In this case, it's a setback deviation or a lessening of the setback. They could ask for a larger setback, or there could be some other condition that they may want to change, and they do have that prerogative.
Along those lines.
Go ahead.
So is the question whether they're accepting, if this gets approved, then they won't have to have the 100-foot setback, and if it gets denied, then they could come back with the 100-foot setback and then have it passed again, like try to get it approved again?
Well, I guess it depends up to the board of what the reasoning would be, but the setback would not be, I guess, up for debate if it was met.
Is it being met with the one that would be voted? Okay. That was my question.
Yeah, currently you're asking for 66 feet.
Correct. I think would be the better way to answer it is how many conditional use permits are granted modifying setbacks? Probably 95% of them. That's why you go through a conditional use percent process. That's why it's considered a conditional use. And Andy does it more than I, but pretty much every project we take for a conditional use, you're looking for setback changes and different other items of the.
Would you agree with that 95% estimate?
Well, there's not very many uses that have a setback requirement, but I would say from a standpoint of conditions, they're always open for debate, and they do get worked out from the first time we meet with the petitioner through the entire process, and as well as like a night to night where they may need to be adjusted.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is, what was staff's recommendation on the setback?
Well, we did not exactly make a recommendation.
Okay.
We understand with what is said, and that's why we did some research to find out what was taking place around us.
Okay.
I have a couple questions, and it sort of piggybacks off of Emily's question. What is this then the normal process? I mean, let's say if I was going to add a garage onto my property and I needed to encroach upon the 10-foot setback, I would have to go to the town, the village, or whatever I lived in, and go to a variance committee to get, you know, some type of a committee would have to approve the variance. So, in this case, the variance committee isn't the appropriate way to go. We, as the committee, actually have the say because it's the initial building of it.
The difference there is that each district has their own required setbacks, and any deviation from that would be needed to go before the Board of Adjustments. That's the proper method for that. In this case, the required setback is 10. The conditional use section has an added requirement of 100 feet, and that can come before the board, and it is allowed, at least based upon our past conversation with our corporation counsel, is that the board has the prerogative to adjust any condition that is already preset in the ordinance, add to them or take away from them.
So they wanted to encroach upon the 10, then it would have to go through the, it would have to go through this.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Then the other thing, it seems like there's some kind of a weakness possibly in the that we have veterinarian services lumped in with kennels and places that are obviously going to house hospitals and kennels and so on, as opposed to a veterinarian services where people are bringing in their pets and leaving the same day with them. We sort of have them all lumped under one conditional use. It might be you said you talked with the city. Do they lump theirs together or do they have them separate?
I don't know for certain, but I think through this process we are learning the same thing, is that we may need to take a look at our ordinance and adjust it more accordingly from the standpoint as what we typically are thinking the setback would be needed for is when you have outdoor animals as opposed to indoor animals, from the standpoint that the ordinance does require that any building be built of sound deadening material. And so the issue that always seems to be come to hand, at least for things that have come before us in years past, is the noise from the animals. And if they're in a building that's not sound deadening, that is certainly not going to solve the problem. If they're in a building that is sound deadening, well then that certainly takes away the issue. If there's kennels outside, well, then that's a whole different light, and I understand what you're saying. And we are looking at that at staff, if that's something we might want to address in our text amendments over this next year.
I think so, too. So as I see it, we have a couple things. First of all, the petitioner has offered to go to 75 feet, and still he thinks that he could. The architect, at least, the petitioner hasn't said, but the architect thinks that he could do it within 75 feet. So that would be one thing that we may want to rework. The other thing is, I think we should, because we have a veterinary services building, I think we should put language in a conditional use that would basically limit them from having it as a shelter, kennel, or an animal hospital. If we put it into conditional use, then they can't do that. But then the committee would have to be willing to go along with the 75 feet, which is better than 66. The 75 feet might then allow them to meet with the neighbors and work out how they're going to do this fence without taking down the natural shrubbery that might be there.
We just offered the fence as a piece. I mean, if they don't want the fence, we don't have to do the fence. If they prefer to have the fence, we'll do the fence. We were just trying to...
Yeah, but if you had the 75 feet, you might be able to do both.
Right.
That's what I was
right.
thinking. Anybody else on the committee? Supervisor Decker?
Mr. Chairman?
I just called on Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, there's some things in here that the petitioner is willing to change in the conditional use permit, and there's some questions we have or some things that us as a committee would like to change. I'd like to see the petitioner talk to the neighbors and hopefully work some things out, so I'd like to make a motion to table this till our next meeting.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Skoliski. Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skoliski to table to the next meeting. On the question, any concerns from staff or...
I would just state that if the, it seems reasonable by the board, I mean, we can host a meeting at our office if it seemed appropriate, or they can meet on their own to talk about these issues.
With the neighbors, you mean?
Right.
Yes.
I agree if they're willing to do that.
Yeah. I think we have a... We're hearing a lot of things, like Supervisor Skoliski said, for the first time. And we did have a pre-planning meeting. We didn't plan for some of the things we heard. So, any other comments? Youth and Governance? All right, we'll have a vote on that. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And we'll do a roll call. Supervisor?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Supervisor Skoliski?
Aye.
Retzlaff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Noble? Aye. We'll put it on the next agenda. We'll work a few things out with staff and come forward with the next meeting. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll be in touch to set that up. We have everyone's information. And if you don't think we have it, please let us know or write it down and see April down at the end of the table. Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda, if I can get this, that would be the conditional use permit for JEOM Ocho out of in Salem. Andy?
Okay, just one moment. I need to bring back.
Did I say it right? I'm not sure.
This up on the screen.
This is on Geneva Road, which is Highway 50.
So item number 8 is Jom Ocho, 201 Bridal Path Lane, Fox River Grove, Illinois, 60021. Owner, Gene A. Lipstrewer, JB Resale and Collectibles, LLC, 1231 Lance Drive, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181. Agent requesting a conditional use permit for outdoor sales display in the B3 Highway Business District on tax parcel number 654-120-063-0200, Town of Salem. We will also show on the screen the location of this property. As you can see, it's on the north side of Highway 50. The property used to be the Eric Sausage Shop many years ago. If you're familiar with that, it was yellow at one time, and it's highlighted on the screen.
All right, thank you, Andy. Is the petitioner here? Would he please come forward and state your name, address, and explain your request for the conditional use. You're in the hot seat now.
I'm Jean A. Lipstrewer. Oh, closer. Okay. I'm Jean A. Lipstrewer. from 1231 Lance Drive in Twin Lakes. And we are trying to do the outdoor sales at JB Resale at the property there. You don't have the one that shows where the...
Yeah, we'll pull that up so we can see the area that you would like to have. Sure.
That's what I was looking for.
Area is the area you're proposing that you submitted in your packet for the display area.
Right. What can I tell you? It's, we want to put things outside, like bicycles, motorcycles, possibly cars, maybe an occasional boat. Obviously looking for put things out that are larger so people can see them and stop and see if they're interested. We will be putting things away at night. We've already been told we have to do that, so things won't be sitting out there. And what else can I tell you? I don't know what information you're looking for. I'm sorry.
Well, have you read, for starters, have you received the conditions of approval?
I just
read them?
Got that at 5 o'clock today, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you read them and you're, they're all acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody from the committee? Well, let's see. Anybody from the committee have a question? Supervisor Deck.
I don't have a question. I have a state. I just wanted to state that I drive by that property at least four times a day.
Oh, you really?
Driving my kids to school and back. It looks wonderful.
Thank you.
You did to it. Cleaned it up, painted it. The sign outside's nice. So I just thank you for cleaning it up, and I hope that you are successful there.
We hope so, too.
Yes. I do want to tell the committee members yesterday I did state that sign out in the frontage was gone. I was incorrect. I looked when I drove by it today. It's still there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to take it down because it's in disrepair.
That's part of the, they're going to correct some things with the road or the driveway, so that's all going to be taken care of in the next couple of months from what I understand.
Okay. Well, thank you very much because it looks wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody have a question before I ask for people for and against? Okay. Are there any citizens here tonight that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody here tonight that would like to speak in favor? Anybody here that would like to speak against? Anybody against? Do we have any letters to be read into the record?
We do not.
Do we have a recommendation from the town?
We do. Town of Salem Town Board met on this item April 14th, 2014. The motion carried unanimously.
I make a motion
to approve conditions of use as written.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Skolitsky to approve the conditions.
And I just want to make a comment, Chairman.
Wait, just let me finish. And a second by Supervisor Decker. Okay, comments?
Just to let everyone be aware is that this conditional use is for the 2 years, which just, again, will mean that you'll need to come back for the committee prior to the 2 years being up. That means in 2016 you would need to make an application for a May meeting, or you could do it just a little sooner, but basically to renew this if you so choose.
Okay.
If you choose not to, then you would not be allowed to have the outdoor storage anymore.
Okay.
And again, just for the committee, is that October of this year is the date of when the signage and the pavement needs to be corrected.
Yes.
And so you can do it any time before then, but this, so the committee is aware that October of this year is when that needs to be taken care of.
Okay.
And thank you.
So that you know, we did have like a work meeting on, and we as a committee asked staff to put the 2 years in so that you have, so that we can see that, you know, everything is being taken care of.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right, we have a motion on the floor. So, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
both youth and governments vote aye. Supervisors, all in favor, say aye.
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 Oppose?
Are all in favor? Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And we're going to have you sign the conditions here that you agree to those. Thank you.
Okay. Is Emily getting paid for this? All right, the next item on the agenda is a rezoning request by Richard Pinter on a property in Salem. Mr. Pinter, would you come forward and give your name and address and then what you intend to do with the property?
He's coming up. I'll just read into for the record. Item number 9, Richard S. Pinter, 781 513th Avenue, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53128. Owner requesting a rezoning from R1 Rural Residential District to R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District on tax parcel number 674-120-311-0402, Town of Salem. We'll put up on the screen again for this item where it's located in the Town of Salem. On Highway B, just south of Highway C. It's a highlighted area on the east side.
I'm Richard Pinter, 7815 113th Avenue in Pleasant Prairie. And is that what you need for the preamble here?
Yes, and then okay. Just explain what right. You're doing and why.
We'd like to basically just follow the 2035 plan, which calls for taking this particular R1 property and rezoning it to R2, going from approximately just a little over 6 acres on the R1 into two equally sized, approximately 3.1 acre R2 parcels.
Here, I'll just show on the screen here what you're looking at wanting to do.
The neighbors to the north and the south are both R2. It should fit in nicely, but it's already in the 2035 plan, so we thought the county would like this very much.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Questions from youth and governance? Are these properties for speculation, or are you doing this for family members, or?
I'm doing it for, I have a family member who was interested in buying it, but wasn't able to come up with the finances. I have an employee who was interested in buying the other half and couldn't come up with the finances. And I agreed to buy it, go through all of this, and let them each, my employee and my daughter and son-in-law, to each get the property that they wish they could have.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? I don't think I've asked yet for people in the public. Are there any people that would like to come and speak in favor of this petition? Are there any people that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody here that would like to speak against? Anybody against? All right, seeing none. Amy, do we have a recommendation? Right, do we have anything to be read into the record or not? For or against?
Nothing for the record, just from the town.
From the town, what do we have?
Town of Salem met on this item May 12, 2014. The motion carried unanimously.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Decker, seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky to approve the rezoning. On the question, anybody have a question? All right. Then we have a vote. Youth and governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Both youth and governance vote aye. All those in favor from the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Everybody votes aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And just so you know, the certified survey map for this property and the others for tonight will be taken up later in the meeting.
All right, the next item on the agenda is a comprehensive plan amendment for Ann M. Burke Revocable Trust in the town of Randall. Andy, would you read it into the record?
Number 10, public hearing on proposed comprehensive plan amendment, Ann M. Burke, trustee of the Ann M. Burke Revocable Trust, 225 West Washington Avenue, Suite 1701, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. Owner, James P. Howe, Godfrey, Livesley, Blackburn, and Howarth, SC 354 Seymour Court, Elkhorn, Wisconsin, 53121. Agent, request an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan from medium density residential in primary environmental corridor to suburban density residential on tax parcel number 604-119-182-0490 in the town of Randall. We'll show on the screen the comprehensive plan request, and you can see the property outlined in purple in the southwest area. It is currently orange, being asked to be the comprehensive plan changed from medium density to and primary environmental corridor to suburban density.
I see the petitioner has already assumed the position.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Howe. I'm an attorney at the Godfrey Law Firm in Elkhorn, and we're pleased to represent the Ann M. Burke Revocable Trust on this comprehensive plan amendment and then on the rezone and the two-lot certified survey map that we're proposing tonight. Client owns this property, 6 acres. About three of it is in primary environmental corridor. You'll see the residences, the properties to the east, they're zoned R3. Those are lots of 20,000 square feet or smaller. What we're asking to do first is to change the medium density residential designation under the comprehensive plan, the planned use designation that we've been given. That actually calls for lots of as small as 6,000 square feet up to just under 40,000 square feet. When you have lots of that size, 6,000 square feet or less than 40,000, you're really calling for lots with sanitary sewer service. That's not in the future, the foreseeable for anybody here around Powers Lake. So that's one reason we're asking for a density change, planned use designation, up to suburban density residential, which is 40,000 square feet to lots of 4.9 acres. What we're asking basically is to reduce the number of lots that can be created on this property from 6,000 square foot lots to lots of at least 40,000 square feet or more. Ourselves, we are presenting a two-lot CSM that will call for lots of 2.7 acres each on this 6 acres. The lots will require well and septic. That's in keeping with what's around it. Will still be, of course, single-family residential use only as suburban density residential. And we think that that meets with the uses surrounding it because they're basically all residential to the north across 87th Street. There's one B3 zone parcel that's mostly for a parcel that's in the across the county line in Walworth County, in the village of Bloomfield. That's
I can show that for you again.
Right. So, but otherwise, it's residential. You've got some C2 lots away from the lake to the north that are that have a minimum 5 acre. As I see, all the other lots surrounding Powers Lake with frontage like ours are significantly smaller. But they're all residential, and we're not, you know, what we're calling for isn't going to change that. On the primary environmental corridor, we're asking to remove the designation. These woodlands on the 6 acres total, maybe 3 acres approximately, and they are pretty much isolated. This is qualifies as primary environmental corridor because it's attached to Powers Lake. But when you think in terms of a primary environmental corridor of significant woodlands, 2 miles long, 400 feet wide, this is not part of a greater woodland tract. And so what we're asking is to remove that woodland designation. It's somewhat isolated. It's actually too small even to be an isolated natural resource area. But in its place, we've agreed to a conservation easement using wording that we've agreed with the staff on, and that'll be placed on the face of the certified survey map. We're also not have a desire to clear cut valuable woods. Those woods are important to us, but we still want to be able to locate a house more than 75 feet from the shore of Powers Lake, put a garage up, put a driveway through, and put in all of the amenities that, you know, septic and well and utilities that'll be needed for a second house on the property. There is one house on the property now. And so, are there any other questions? I'd be happy to take them.
Are there any questions from committee? Supervisor Skoliski.
The existing structure, is it towards the western half or the eastern half? And will there be any problem fitting, because this is, even though 2.7 is a large parcel, it's very long and narrow, any problems fitting it in there without...
No, there is one house. It's on the eastern half of the property. We're proposing to rezone it from rural residential to a suburban residential. And with that, the existing house will fit, meet all the setbacks of the R2 district that we're going to ask for in our rezone. So it was located with the thought that someday another building could be, and another lot could be created with a house.
Okay. And as far as you know, all appropriate, you know, perk testing has been done to allow placement of septic?
Yes. In fact, that's one of the requirements for the certified survey map. We show six boreholes, so it's an original and an alternate location on lot two, which is the empty lot, the lot on the west side.
That's what I meant. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions, Supervisor Retzlaff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This conservatory part, how many trees roughly do you think they're going to, I mean, what are we talking on this property? Is it many, many? I mean.
Well, it meets the requirement of the 17 per acre right now.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell you how many are healthy, how many are dying, diseased, how many are down. We didn't have an actual woodland inventory done. We have had it reviewed, and there are woods there, obviously.
Yes. And so they're comfortable with the conditions on that about leaving them there?
Minimizing the loss, and that's their intention as well, obviously, because woods are valuable to everyone,
right.
and they'll also be subject to the no touch within 35 feet of the shore. Those restrictions, they'll be limited to the 30% view corridor limitation. So even on the shore, they have limitations they'll have to recognize. And then, like I say, they do need to, you know, take some trees down in order to build a house near the shore, because there are woods near the shore.
Yes.
And they don't want to build on the north half of that lot, because it doesn't
Thank you.
Afford them the lakefront use.
Okay. Any other questions before I ask for... All right. People in the attendance, whether you would like to come forward and speak in favor of this petition? Is there anybody in the public that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody in the public that would like to speak against? Do we have anybody that wants to come forward and speak against? All right, seeing none, I do believe we had some questions for staff that with regards to the road. Did that get resolved? Somebody was going to call it the engineer in Salem?
Right. Well, we did check with the town of Randall in regards to, and maybe you can help us out, Jim, in regards to the improvement of gravel at the end of where the bulb is for the turnaround for rescue vehicles, fire, and so on. And it did not seem that there was an actual anything that we could find of when that was supposed to be accomplished. So maybe you can share that with the committee.
We're going to create a turnaround near the end of 406th Avenue. It bump out. First of all, we're dedicating 33 feet of right of way to 406th Avenue. In addition to the 33 feet, at one point for about 60 feet, we're dedicating an additional 7 feet, and that'll give us room to put in a turnaround for emergency vehicles and cars. It's near the end of 406th Avenue. It doesn't run all the way to the bottom because there's no need to. I mean, there are residences there. So the timing of construction, I guess, hasn't been specified, but it is a condition to getting our certified survey map approved. So I would assume that if we come in with a zoning permit application to the county on a building permit to the town, they're going to say, well, there's a condition that you put in this turnaround, and that that it be in there so that, number one, we can service, you know, adequately protect you in the event of a fire or whatever else, get vehicles in, have that turnaround in place. That's our understanding, you know, that it would be done. We're just graveling it. We're leveling and we're graveling. But it's my understanding that that would be done fairly early and probably before we even get a permit from you. So,
and I think just the question that came up was is that it didn't seem that it was discussed in general, but not specifically of what would be the trigger for it to be accomplished. Is it your intention before the second home is constructed, or are you looking at doing that this year prior to that? I think that's where the committee was looking to get a little comfort on that.
I certainly before the second home is constructed.
Excuse me?
Certainly before the second home is constructed, yeah.
Okay, and I guess there's no condition on that right now, and I'm not saying that it would or wouldn't have to happen, but if the committee so chooses, if that's a concern and want to make it more, legitimate, and from that standpoint of knowing what when it would be done, that could be an added condition.
Right. I think we should add that. Yeah. Certainly, because he said certainly before the, you know, new home was constructed. But we're not on that right now, but when we get to that, we can talk a little further about that. All right. Any other questions from the committee? Youth and Governance?
Just one, Jim.
Supervisor Skolitsky.
Jim, I would highly doubt it would be an issue, but have you heard anything from what the current residents are there? I would think they'd want to turn off emergency vehicles, but it's something they're not. It's currently not there. As far as you know, you haven't heard any of
it. I've not heard anything.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. I need a motion on this.
Make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan amendment.
I'll second it.
It is a motion by Supervisor Skolitsky, seconded by Supervisor Retzlaff. Well, what is the town recommendation? I didn't ask for that. Thank you.
The town of Randall, the town board, met on this on April 24th, 2014. And the motion for approval took place and carried.
All right. Last chance. Any questions? If not, we requires a roll call vote. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Both Youth and Governance vote aye. Supervisor Goble?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Supervisor Skolitsky?
Aye.
Supervisor Retzlaff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Noble votes aye. Motion carries. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda then, which is number 11, rezoning of the same property.
Number 11 is rezoning Ann M. Burke, trustee of the Ann M. Burke Revocable Trust, 225 West Washington Avenue, Suite 1701, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. Owner, James P. Howe, Godfrey, Livesley, Blackburn, in Hoath, SC, 354 Seymour Court, Elkhorn, Wisconsin, 53121. Agent, requesting a rezoning from R1 Rural Residential to R2 Suburban Single Family Residential on tax parcel number 604-119-182-0490. Located in town of Randall. We have a different map for this, but same location.
Petitioner, please.
Yes, thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Jim Howe. I'm an attorney at the Godfrey Law Firm in Elkhorn, and representing the petitioner on this rezone. This property right now is zoned R1, rural residential. It's 5-acre minimum. As you look around at the east, the much smaller lots. Those are R3. They're a minimum of 20,000 square feet. There are some C2 lots to the north, but they're not on the lake. So in terms of lake frontage, it's a rather large lot, 5-acre minimum. And so what we're asking is to go down to the next district, which is R2, which is a 40,000 square foot minimum. We've just gone through a map amendment to the comprehensive plan to require that this lot be at least above 40,000 square feet instead of the 6,000 square foot level, and we're proposing a 2.7 acre two-lot CSM, two lots of each 2.7 acres. And that's the land division that will be before you later. So, but that's really on the rezone. I'll leave the rest of my comments for the certified survey map.
Okay. Any citizens here that would like to speak in favor or against this rezoning? Anybody here like to speak either in favor or against the rezoning? Seeing no one, we have a recommendation from the town.
We do. Town of Randall, town board meeting met on this April 24th, 2014. Motion was made to approve. The motion carried.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Goble. On the question, any last questions, comments? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Both Youth and Governance vote aye. All those in favor on the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no, motion carries unanimously. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item number 12, a conditional use permit for the Wazar Incorporated property in Summers on Sheridan Road.
Item 12, Wazar Incorporated, Robert Watchering, P.O. Box 2082, Kenosha, Wisconsin 53141, owner Jorge Eduardo Rodarte Sanchez, J.W. Tires, 12440 41st Avenue, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin 53158, agent requesting a conditional use permit for automotive repair and tire sales in the B5 Wholesale Trade and Warehousing District on tax parcel number 814-223-0530-490 in the town of Summers. We'll show you where this is located. You can see on the map it is on Sheridan Road, just north of 6th Street on the west side of Sheridan Road.
Hello, sir. Would you state your name, address, and what you intend to do with the property?
Good evening. My name is Jorge Eduardo Rodarte Sanchez. Address 540 Sheridan Road, Summers, Wisconsin. What we tend to do there is open a tire shop. We are using a used tire shop, partly new but mostly used. Also, we're going to be doing some small repairs. Nothing major, no engine, no transmission, no type of fluids, chemicals, nothing big will be done there that could harm the environment, harm any of the neighbors. I did get a copy of the conditional use permit this afternoon, and there was some changes to our original plan, which we had a storage in the back facility, in the back of the building, which will no longer be there anymore because that was causing a little bit of problem. That will be taken out. The original plan was to keep our tires that we were going to throw away in the back. Now they're going to be kept within the building. Everything will still fit fine, just so we could keep a lot of the neighbors happier, make sure that there's no controversy with none of that. Also, we're going to fence the front of the building where the parking spots is, so none of the light can be flashing towards the neighbors, as we do have neighbors to the north, south, and to the east. The owner of the place, Mr. Bob Watering, did speak to those neighbors. That's what he had told us. He spoke to the neighbors on the north, the south, and the east, the ones closest to us that could hear most of the noise. So those were the main concerns, the lights, the tires being put away, no type of garbage left out, no type of tools left outside overnight, no cars being left out, which we have already discussed in the previous meetings. We will we'll have a policy not allowing anyone to keep cars outside of the facility overnight. Any type of stuff that gets to our shop and it's going to take a long time past our hours will be denied and said to bring back the next day. Our hours of operation will be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Sunday will be closed. Right now the building is empty building. It's not in really good condition. The paint outside is very worn. It's not very well kept. And that would be our first step to make sure the building gets repainted so it could look professional, make the building look more like a business than what it looks right now, make sure the facility is nice and kept clean, landscape and everything's kept up to date to make sure it looks professional and like a real business.
Good. Any questions from the committee before I ask for citizens' comments? Supervisor Skolinski.
Thank you. Will you be installing a compressor and be utilizing pneumatic tools?
Correct. The compressor is going to be kept within a room, so it will be silenced. It will be within four doors. The room is already there, so all we'll do is we'll put the compressor inside to silence it, so there won't be any more noise coming out of the building. So it will be within four doors, confined.
Okay. And yeah, I've worked on cars too, and sometimes it's a nice day, and you know, perhaps you want to do work on outside the door or whatever. I'm not sure that's part of your business plan.
That will not be part of our business plan. It's already part of the conditional permit that it says nothing will be done outside. Everything will be within, which is a two-door. Two cars fit inside. So all of our business is going to be on a 45-minute turnaround. That's how long it usually takes to change four tires. So it'll be a fast turnaround. It won't be long labor. That will take forever to get people in and out of the place.
Can you kind of expound a little bit on what your plan is regarding the discarded tires or the tires that you're going to discard? How are you going to handle that?
Okay.
Do you have kind of an idea of how the frequency?
Okay, we're going to be doing that on a weekly basis. That was covered at the town meetings. There was confusion because some people said monthly and some other people say bi-weekly. It will be doing on a weekly basis to make sure there's no mosquitoes, no animals start living within the tires or anything. So we will be doing it on a weekly basis to keep the area a lot cleaner. There is different companies that we have spoke to. They just have to go open the business and then they go and give us an estimate on how much it would be per tire to take away. And if for some instance that day they can't pick it up or there's something happens with the company, there is facilities that we could go and ourselves take the tires to them and dispose of them ourselves.
What level of experience do you have in this type of a business? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I have an associate's degree in the automotive technology, so we have experience on that.
Okay, so it's not something...
Correct, something new.
Let's talk a little bit about the building because I'm familiar with it. It's rough.
It's rough, correct.
In your opinion, a coat of paint might be enough.
Mm-hmm.
What's the roof look like?
The roof is a little bit worn. If there's anything that will have to be changed, we are going to take care of everything on the building.
You guys or the landlord?
We will.
And that's already understood with
correct,
the landlord?
Correct, with the landlord.
Because that's a big deal.
Correct.
We want to make sure that, unfortunately, of course, this was there a long time.
Correct.
But now it's residential around there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a high, as you've heard previously, we have a certain level of sensitivity to making sure that your neighbors. Now, you had mentioned that the landlord spoke to the neighbors.
That's what he told me.
North,
the
south.
The north one, the south one, and the east one.
And
the ones closest that could hear most of it.
He told you that?
Correct.
And apparently, from what he told you, everything was fine with
they were fine with
pursuing
it.
This
yep. And personally ourselves on the first town meeting there was a couple there that went and they had a couple questions they asked us the questions we answered them for them and after the meeting we talked for a little bit and they were fine. They just wanted to make sure that there was no type of chemicals being disposed up on the lake or tires thrown to the backyard or anything, and I believe that was the the neighbor that's on the north side, and they were fine with it.
Okay. And you had mentioned something about fencing. Is
correct.
That something you're going to have contracted, you're going to do yourself? What type of fencing or screening?
It was set on the conditional use permit what type of fencing we had to use, so we're going to go to the guidelines of that.
All right. Great. That's all for right now. Thank you.
Supervisor Wisliff?
Yes, I just, when you were talking to the, when you were with the Summers people, talking to the town, well, in that conversation, did they mention anything to you about a concern about their goals or their foreseeable future of that area at all? Did they speak about a plan to you at all? Did they say any negative things to you about, well, this may not fit into our plan, or did you have any of that conversation?
There was no negativity about that. The main concern was the outside storage, which has been taken out of the plan already. But there was no negativity as it was. It's on Sheridan, so it's a very busy street. It is it's as a B5, I believe, so wholesale trade and warehouse district.
And I'm curious to know why there for you. I mean, obviously, you're an entrepreneur type. You want to do this business. Why there?
It's on Sheridan Road, busy transited area. Actually, a couple not that far away is a Kawasaki, the motorcycle store. So we didn't think there would be a problem because there is already a automotive motorcycle place nearby.
What type of tires are you talking about? Are you
automotive tires?
All of them, like Michelin, all those types, or specialized tires?
No, just any
anyone. Tire.
Yeah, it's going to be used tires.
Used
tires, correct.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman.
Okay, any other questions from the committee before I ask for citizens in favor or against? Citizens in favor, are there any? Are there any citizens in favor? Are there any citizens that would like to speak against this petition? All right, please come forward, state your name, address, and
it's the magic button. That's it. Hi. My name is Joanne DeVargas. I'm at 563 Sheridan. I'm across the street, so meaning east, on the lakeside, two doors across. I do know Bob somewhat. No one's talked to me, including the half hour that I stood and waited for the meeting to open. And I am one of the concerned neighbors for various reasons. The first reason being, there are other businesses in the neighborhood that are noisy, and we work out of the house, so we hear all of this. And we need to hear to conduct our business, so when there's power tools going, it resonates, just like the train. You know, you hear sound carries, the lake amplifies it, so we do hear the noise. So I don't in any way object. In fact, I'm highly in favor of somebody doing something with that property unless it's mowed down completely because it's a mess. But a noisy business, I don't think, is additive to the neighborhood. Used tires, I'm in the market research business. My guess is nobody on that street is a customer of used tires. And so this is going to bring in people from outside the neighborhood. And there was a lot of money spent on neighborhood planning, I think it was in 2008. Every neighborhood in our community did it. There's a lakeshore plan that's posted on the Summers website that all of you may be familiar with, and it's the 20-year plan of what that area should look like, and it was supposed to be a roadmap. And there was a lot of citizen input into that. There were hundreds of people at many meetings, and an extensive plan agreed to and published. And in that, so I'm not one person speaking when I speak, but I'm real. Some of the highlights in that document is downzoning commercial property so that they're eliminating property in disrepair so that the town would be including commercial property that would be servicing the neighbors rather than outsiders, that auto dealers and gas stations are specifically not of interest. It was specifically mentioned, you can look it up on, I think it's page 17 of the plan. There were businesses that the neighbors were very much in favor of, and we're not talking about three blocks worth of neighbors. We're talking about the whole Sheridan corridor. And you guys and the entire Kenosha and Wisconsin business community are busy luring businesses from Illinois and trying to make our area attractive, and yet if you drive down Sheridan Road, it kind of looks like a slum. And that's, you know, those of us who invested, I moved here thinking it was going to be improved, and it looks worse than when we moved here 8 or 9 years ago. So I've got a lot invested in my piece of property, and I'm not interested in seeing it look even slummier. So my concern is that when you're bringing a lot of traffic from outside the neighborhood, you're selling used tires, you're making lots of noise, and you're not producing anything that the immediate neighbors have any interest in, then it's completely flies in the face of something that the community spent my tax money, your guidance spent a whole lot of money producing. So why go to the the ruse of creating a neighborhood plan, and then here you've got a piece of property that could be turned into something favorable to the neighborhood, and what are we putting in? A used tire store. That's my comment.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions? All right. Do you have a question, Chairman?
If we looked at that, Sharon, you're right. It's amazing that that exists the way it does. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Joanne, that it's unbelievable. I know a home like yours and other your neighbors have probably one of the most pristine views in the entire United States. You do. You look over Lake Michigan, and in some places that's a I can't imagine the cost what that would be in various parts of this country.
And it's not free here either.
Yeah. Once, and then you go down two doors down, three doors down, you know what it looks like. I do agree that I'm a little irate, if that's the right term, with this town of Summers. Sir, you're an entrepreneur. This is not your fault. You want to build. You want to do something. I commend you for that. I do. And I wish you weren't part of the circumstances of Summers being lax in their handling of the Summers or the Sheridan corridor. They have been for years. It should not look like that. It's an eyesore. I'm sorry. That building that you're looking at is an extreme eyesore. So I'm against it. I'm sorry, but I am, just because of pretty much Joanne's opinion. And I feel for you, because you are seem like a very nice guy and that you want to do business, but it just doesn't seem to fit in helping that area that could be so pristine to Kenosha. So that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do you have a question, or should we go on to the next? All right. Supervisor Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Andy Buehler. Do you know what this land is plotted for in the comp plan?
I think we could take a look. I'm not exactly sure, except for the fact I'm presuming that it is showing the existing use, but let's see if we can make a connection here and take a look at that.
While you're looking, this neighborhood plan, was that a Summers plan or was that a county initiative?
That was a Summers plan. They did neighborhood planning for their entire town.
Okay. Crispell Snyder is the name on the document as the consultants, if that matters.
Okay. Yeah, they hired him then to help them work through it.
Okay, so on this plan, they're showing the property to be medium residential, medium density residential. That's the orange designation. So the zoning that's there is the current zoning, but is not the intended future use of the property if it were to be rezoned to something else.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there anybody else then that would like to speak against this petition? Is there anybody else that would like to speak against this petition? All right. Seeing no more people coming forward, then the public hearing part of this particular item is closed. We have a recommendation from the town?
We do. Two things I just wanted to point out to the committee in regards to the fencing, well, a couple of things. One is the fencing. One of the conditions is that it be 6 feet high and be solid, a fence or a wall. The aspect in regards to the potential of the original plan to have a building where you could store the tires, okay, and the requirement that if you were to pursue that, it needed to be a full-sided enclosed roofed structure, metal or wood, and in doing so, it may require a variance to construct a new building because of the setback issues and or to put an addition on. And the last is, wanted to just mention, because I don't think it really came out too clear at the town, in regards to the fact that you had indicated that you wanted to have some tires on display.
Correct.
And so the current condition is condition number 6 that does allow for outside tire display of up to 4 columns of tires of 4 on the property, staying within your property boundaries, not in the right-of-way. So I just wanted to, those are some of the things that kind of got worked out in the last day and a half, and wanted to let the committee be aware of that. Besides that, the town of Summers did meet on this item. They did, their town board did meet last night, May 13th, 2014, and the motion did carry unanimously 5-0.
I think I read that you have a 3-year lease with Mr. Watring on this.
Correct, 3-year lease, but we have a 1-year approval, and then we have to renew again in a year.
So the conditional use permit is 1 year.
Correct.
So if you don't,
to my understanding.
Yes, I should have added that as well, because that did get worked out in the last day and a half. The committee did have the pre-planning meeting, and that was a concern in regards to the type of use of this property, the location. And so a 1-year conditional use, which would mean you would have to come back and file with the county and go through the same procedures in a year from now, basically showing that you have been able to adhere to all the conditions of the conditional use permit.
Correct.
Along those lines, if the long-range plan is residential, I would think that the long-range plan would be, you know, this might be a stepping stone, hopefully, for you to move on to another location at some time. You know, so that the long-range plan for that property can be what it is, which is all residential.
Okay.
I just think that what I'm trying to say is you should know that the long-range plan for that property is all residential.
Mm-hmm.
So plan accordingly. Anybody else on the committee? Supervisor Skolitsky?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always want to encourage entrepreneurs and business owners to either start or expand themselves. But I know this area, and you know, in the long-range plan, is that I share the chairman's thoughts, and that is, this may be a good location right now, but it's not going to be there long-term. Mm-hmm. Because as the town of Summers gets their act together a bit, and I live in the town of Summers, so I can speak of it, both financially and planning and long range, and eventually it's going to, you know, hopefully become village. This will become a pristine residential area because of the, but it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to discourage you in pursuing this, but I do share some of the concerns of, you've got a neighbor here that is concerned, and given transition of the area that was supposed to take place but hasn't necessarily been there. The landlord, he's going to be surprised when that zoning does come through, because it will,
okay,
in the long-range plan. And so I'm very torn right now of wanting to support you, but also being cognizant of the residents around there and bringing an automotive business type business into it. It's one thing if you're going to run a fudge shop or something like that, where you couldn't really tell the difference, but you can when you're switching out tires. So I just wanted to commend you for your efforts, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to support you tonight, okay? Thank you.
Supervisor Supervisor Decker?
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit.
Second that.
With the conditions stated.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Goble. On the question, any other questions? Questions by Youth and Governance? Okay, then we need a vote. Youth and Governance?
No. No.
No? Both? No? Supervisor Goble?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Supervisor Skalitsky?
No.
Supervisor Retzlaff?
No.
Supervisor Noble?
Aye.
We have a 1 year, you understand. We'll all be here, except for possibly the Youth and Governance people. But the rest of us will be here, so you need to be cognizant of the concerns and run a good business.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're having the petitioner sign the conditions that he agrees to all of them.
Seems like you really articulated your position really well. All right, the next item on the agenda is a comprehensive plan amendment that was tabled at the last meeting, I believe, right?
This item was not...
This item
table.
Is not table? Okay, this is a new...
It's a repeat of one that was at the last meeting.
Okay, comprehensive plan amendment for Badkey Holdings in Paris.
Comprehensive plan amendment, public hearing on proposed comprehensive plan amendment, Badkey Holdings, 1520 136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182, owner Jeff Badkey, 1520 136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182, agent, request an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan from governmental and institutional to a mixed use on tax parcel number 454-221-181-0410, located in the town of Paris. We'll put up on the screen the map for the comprehensive plan. The area is on the north side of Highway 142, just west of 45. It's the area that is currently highlighted purple and blue. And just for clarification, that this item did come before the committee the last month, and there was a motion to approve, and that failed. And the petitioner has refiled to come back before the committee. And the other thing I need to note is that this was published as well as the other ones. The next items up, we'll have to mention that they were published at a different time.
All right, the petitioner is already came forward. Would you please give your name, address, and your intentions?
Jeff Badkey, 1520 136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin. I currently operate a used equipment resale a couple blocks away from this location, and I've been there for a little over a year, and I have outgrown the location due to mainly the size of the equipment I sell. The current property is about 0.3 acres, and this new property is about 1.3 acres, so much bigger and allows for more room. I'm trying to put good use to a old church that has been for sale for 5 years, has not been used in 5 years. I've already done the landscaping on the site to try and improve the looks of it. There's still more cosmetic things that will be done to the building itself to beautify the building. I have obtained 40 letters of support from the community, which of 14 are on this particular corner, and then the remaining are within the town. That would be our intended use for the property, then, used equipment sales.
All right. Does anybody on the committee have any questions before we ask for citizens' comments? Supervisor Skalitsky.
Welcome back, Ms. Becky.
Thank you.
And
You know why you're back here, because
correct.
Like our last meeting. On your current, not the new facility, have you made the improvements that were originally required through your conditional use permit?
Correct.
That we had discussed?
Yes. Okay. We actually went a little farther and completed ones that you will be visiting on a next petition this evening also.
Okay. The last time I was out at your original, our current property, not the new one, there was, you know, corner knocked off some of the trim in the building, and just in general needed cleaning up, little TLC. Correct. Did you follow through on all that?
Yes. Okay. The corner is still loose, I believe. I haven't fixed that, no.
Okay.
But as far as, yeah, cosmetics is, you know, the junk's gone.
Yeah.
A lot of the junk that was there was from the previous owner in the backyard. It was kind of out of my sight. I didn't put much effort into it, but yes, it has been picked up.
And you're new to, soon to hopefully be your tenant there. He understands the requirements of upkeep and maintaining.
Correct.
That facility.
Yep.
In property, in proper, because there's residents, you know.
Yep. And that was the main reason of our fence there. With his type of business, his fence will benefit a lot because of the motorcycle traffic, so we don't have to worry about him cutting through the front yard or anything also.
Okay.
That actually really dressed the place up, too.
And your new tenant, they're also intending on displaying some vehicles for sale?
Just motorcycles.
Yeah, ATVs. Motorcycles. Yep. And he understands some of our concerns with regards to signage on that?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, switching over to your new location. You've done a little landscaping, and it looks nice. You obviously, from our last discussion here, you've got some neighbors that have legitimate concerns.
True.
And you have some legitimate points also, right?
Mm-hmm.
The town is in favor of what you're doing. We don't want to be against it, but we also want to be cognizant of the concerns of the residents. Have you had an opportunity, I'm realizing you do have letters of support, which is outstanding. In the immediate surrounding area, have you had a chance to visit with all or most of those neighbors?
Yes.
Just to introduce yourself, who you are, what you're doing, and get a sense of what their concerns are?
Correct. All these area ones I obtained, and then me and Mr. Young did do a site walk today.
Okay. You guys both somewhat feel,
yep,
as comfortable as things are going to get?
Yeah, exactly. Comfortable, okay, as they're going to get.
Yeah.
It was a
and I appreciate
great,
that.
Great conversation, but I can only obviously make them so happy.
Appreciate that tremendously. And also, then I'm going to count on you to make sure that you follow through on the things with your new site here of,
correct,
of trying to, you know, minimize,
mm-hmm,
the visual impact, let's call it that.
True,
way.
True, yes.
All right.
I mean, they're obviously always going to be there, the impact, but we can strategically place things to minimize it.
Try to manage it
effectively.
Correct,
yes.
Okay. That's all I have for right now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Becky.
Okay. I think I'll just help clarify, because Mr. Becky did come in and provide us with the letters of support, and so I just put on the screen the ones that he had indicated that were in the immediate vicinity, which you had said there were 14?
There's 14 signatures and I think 10 sites. There was some.
Okay, and the other ones are from the community as a whole.
Correct.
So we have those available if anyone is of concern.
Do you have them on there where they are? Is that what you're saying? Kind of which? Oh, those what the numbers are?
Yeah, it's kind of.
Okay. All right.
I have a copy if you wanted to see it in person a little easier.
Sure, you can hand it. We'll pass it down, and it might be easier to see than that. Okay. I'm going to then ask for people in the citizens. Any citizens that are here that would like to speak in favor of this petition? We have some. Would you come forward, state your name, your address, and why you're in favor?
Good evening. John Holloway, 15500 Burlington Road in the town of Paris. I serve as the chairman of the Planning Commission for the town of Paris. It was suggested by the planning staff that at your last meeting, there may have been some questions that came up that you needed additional input, so I'm really here more as a resource to you than anything else. I just would make a couple of comments that were shared with me with from your last meeting, and then I would be available for any questions you might have. One of the questions I believe that came up was with a question that we had had at the town was that DOT has long-range plans for redoing that intersection, and whether or not those long-range plans would affect the this property. I have the two proposals from the DOT here, and they indicate that the easternmost driveway, this property has a U-shaped driveway, the easternmost driveway could potentially be an ingress driveway because there might be a median strip put in there, but that the western driveway would not be affected by the DOT plan. So if that was a question that you had on that. The second thing I wanted to address was that as you guys have been dealing with this evening is always with concerns of neighbors and how they deal with a proposed change. Just want to reassure you that the town of Paris is very cognizant to the concerns of neighbors. We understand the change affects people's lives and perceptions, and that we felt that we had listened to the concerns that were addressed to the town, and that if you when you read the minutes from the Planning Commission and from the town board, that we put conditions on this property that we recommend to the planning staff to include that would address, in our opinion, the majority of the concerns, so that we want you to understand that we did not take the concerns that were expressed lightly, and that we attempted to put in conditions that would help address those concerns. I believe a question came up at the last time on the how the town had envisioned in smart growth plan that corner. And we as a town, as you're aware, town of Paris is primarily an agricultural, rural residential community. And there's not been a lot of land use change over time. And when we as a community sat down and had our public hearings, our planning for the multi-jurisdictional plan, we found it difficult to go in with a broad brush and say in the planning horizon that study had that this area definitely was going to change, this area was not, basically without knowing the long-range plans of the landowners and without knowing the economic conditions, it was questionable as to whether or not we could paint the map with long-range plans in generalities. We also discovered that the smart growth legislation make some changes for individuals that may have been unintended. When we put an overlay over a property that the town indicates, the town of the county thinks that in long range we think that area is going to change, and then the family or the property owner wishes to use it in a short term a different way, the smart growth overlays can create some difficulties and not allow them to use the property short term in the way that they wish to, and so that we deliberately as a town did not overly expand some of these areas for the standpoint that we didn't want them to impact people's use of their property. If you read the text of Paris's plan in the Smart Growth booklet, is that we had envisioned and we state very emphatically that corner is one of the few areas in the town of Paris where a town can have commercial growth that the town has control over. As recent headlines, you know, is that the town of Paris does not have much control over its I-94 corridor, and so that we as a town for planning identified a couple of areas in the town that were totally within the town that we would be able to use for commercial growth, and this happens to be one of them. We identified it in the plan and we addressed that, and when you read the minutes of our meetings, is that that's why we are looking at this type of change in that area. And then another thing that the town has in our land plan that we discussed was that we wanted businesses to grow in the town that have that the town residents would make use of. We don't necessarily want just businesses that people necessarily would just drive there for. We wanted the townspeople to make use of it, and the plan commission and the town board feel that the type of business that Jeff is proposing to offer here, he's offering items for sale that people in the community could make use of. As Jeff noted, the property had been for sale for 5 years without any use, and so that the idea that that you were going to wait until another church came along to basically to use it, or a daycare or something like that. The market had shown that wasn't going to happen. We felt it was appropriate to address it to a use that the community could make use of, and it puts it back on the tax roll, which we felt was important. And the one other item that I'm not sure that I have not seen any proposed conditions, and I know right now we're talking land use, so this is we're not talking the specifics, but the one of the things that's in the town board minutes that when we get to that discussion is that we specifically even went so far as to talk to Jeff about how the items would be displayed on the property to minimize its impact on the residential overlook. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Please come forward, give your name, address, and your comments.
Can we put a limit on time on this one? Years? When we get to the conditional use, yeah. We have it listed as 1 year.
Okay, yeah. I know.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Kenneth Monson. I live at 15702 38th Street in Paris. I am the second side supervisor on the town board for the town of Paris, and I'm also the liaison to the plan commission for the town board. I just have a few comments just to hopefully clear a few things up here. I was asked to be here. There was some discrepancies on a few things. I just wanted to clear some things up, so I just have a few thoughts here. The town went through the process of discussing and approving the map amendment, the rezoning, and the CUP at the Planning Commission and the Town Board meetings in February. The committee should have the minutes from those meetings. Comments for and against were received at the public hearing and both Town Board meetings. All concerns were addressed and discussed at both meetings. There was traffic concerns, there was lighting concerns, that type of thing. And those were all talked about and addressed with conditions. The proposed use fits the smart growth plan that's been developed by the county and the town. The votes that were taken were unanimous on both boards. There was also a concern about a negative effect on property values that was also brought up, but there have been multiple businesses at a residence across the street from this proposed site for years without any negative effect that I'm aware of. The maps that the town received from the DOT did not indicate any conflict with proposed use when that intersection at 45 and 142 will be reconstructed. And I personally did not receive any calls against this proposed use, and I did receive several supporting the proposal. So If there's any questions for me or anything, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions before I ask for
that's all the comments
from the citizens? All right. Thank you, sir. Any other citizens that would like to speak in favor?
Brett Weiss, 20409 15th Street. I actually have own property that is in view of the location that Jeff is proposing. I'm all for it. As you guys know, it's been sitting empty for 5 years. I would assume have it seen cleaned up and being used. And I've talked to several of the neighbors that are all in favor of it. As you guys can see, all the signatures and that we've gotten, and all of the neighbors that are also across the street and surrounding the property that he is talking about. So I'd just like to say I'm in favor of it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else that would like to come forward in favor? Please state your name, address, and your comments.
Perry Mullenbeck, 20100 Burlington Road. I'm the first place east of where Jeff's putting or proposed. I've discussed what he's doing there, and I've got no problem with what he plans on doing, and he's already improved it a lot for the last 5 years he's been there, so it's going to be a plus.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else that would like to speak in favor? Is there anybody else in favor? Is there anybody here tonight against? Anybody against tonight? Okay, please come forward. Give me your name, your address, and your comments.
Hello, Dennis Jackley. My address is 6326 247th Avenue, Salem, but I'm a co-owner with my mother on the property directly across the street, and I was just didn't want it there for the fact that it's eyesore and the rest of it's all residential around there. If he wanted to do it, he should have went east of where he is now, where it's already zoned commercial, rather than coming up in a residential area and stacking equipment and trucks and whatever right directly across the street. So the last meeting we were at, when it got tabled, I don't see anything that was going to change on his part or our part, other than he put a fence up with some chips underneath it. It's not going to be what it is after he gets his equipment in there. I mean, right now he did make an improvement by putting the fence up, but it's not going to be an improvement when he gets his equipment and trucks in there and tearing up the grass to put in blacktop or gravel. So, therefore, I'm against it.
Okay, thank you. Any other citizens that coming forward, please give me your name, your address, and your comments.
Bruce Young, 20207 Burlington Road. I'd live directly across the street from the proposed property. Anytime I look out my windows, the only part that I can't see is the southeast corner and behind the building. I don't care what he puts in there, if he's going to put, because he's going to get bigger equipment, it's just going to make it that more unaesthetic to the whole community. There's 9 residential properties around there, and Paris does not have a plan to put any businesses, because a person wanted to put a gas station in at the corner, and they voted that down. So if they're looking to improve the business community, they sure should have passed that, because it would have been more convenient And a lot of people in Paris could use gas at that corner instead of running to Union Grove or the I or Burlington. They got a lot of traffic there. And if he does get it, who's going to police the number of pieces that he's going to have? If it's in a conditional use that he can only have so many pieces, who is going to police it? So I'm against it. It doesn't seem feasible to put a business right in the middle of a residential area. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the present today that would like to speak against? Anybody else that would like to speak against? Seeing no one coming forward, the citizens' comments public hearing portion is closed. Andy, do we have a recommendation from the town?
We do. The Town of Paris Town Board met on this item February 25th, 2014. A motion was made and carried 2-0.
Supervisor Decker?
To Mr. Young's question, Andy, what, and I know this doesn't have to pertain to this item, but obviously we're lumping it all together. What is the, if one of the neighbors found that he was out of a condition for his CUP, what would a neighbor do to get that rectified?
Anytime someone was out of their compliance with the conditional use permit, it can be made known to us. We would need to then verify that they're out of compliance, and then we would follow through with trying to get compliance, either with a letter to start out with. It could go to a citation. It could go all the way back to this committee if we needed to revoke the conditional use permit if they were not following through.
Thank you.
So basically, I was trying to answer your question, who is going to police it. You basically are going to police it, and you would report it to the staff.
I make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan amendment.
I'll second it.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Goble to approve the comprehensive. This does require a roll call vote. And on the question, Supervisor Skolinski.
I have a question for Mr. Holloway, if that's the appropriate person. If you could shed some light on the commentary that Mr. Young had made with regards to a previous application for fuel station, a fuel stop, or anything along those lines, because I've heard that, but I just don't have any background. And if not, or if that was made, why was it turned down? Can you give us a little insight?
John Holloway, Town of Paris. Approximately 8 years ago, a town resident approached the town. He had an option to purchase the northeast corner of 45 and 142, and he was proposing to build a gas station and possibly a restaurant, a fast food restaurant on that corner. He did not want to go through the whole process. He is a town resident. He did not want to have anyone upset with him. And he asked that the town hold a public hearing before he made any application. He went so far as to draw up site plans. He had met with the county staff so that he knew all of the requirements. And he had an artist draw up drawings for it. And we had a public hearing by which is strictly informational to accept comments because he wanted to know what his neighbors felt. At that time, I would say about half the people that were there were very much opposed to it and very vocally opposed to it. And then about half that were there said that this is something that they thought would be good for the community, that they would like to see that happen. But based on, and all we do is accept comments, it wasn't really debated, it was just to accept comments. After it closed, he and his family talked about it. They came back to us and said that in light of the opposition that they heard, he was not going to go forward with it. He let the option lapse on the property, so it never came before the town as an action item, and the town did not vote it down. There was never a vote taken on it. The town, in our discussions with him, we were actually encouraging it because we felt there was something that would be useful to the town residents, and that what we were talking to him about was he as a business model, a gas station to be successful almost needs to be 24-hour. The neighbors were asking that he limit sales to 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, and he indicated that that would not work for him as a business model. So thank you.
I appreciate the insight on that, Mr. Holloway, because it just adds some clarity to this scenario. I wish you hadn't walked away already, Mr. Holloway. I wasn't going to let you off the hook quite that easy. I just wanted to ask you with regards to, I realize the town now is kind of looking at more of a comprehensive longer range plan, and I believe you've consulted with an organization to do that. Take a look at how should our plan look like. Is that in fact something that you guys are pursuing?
Yes, the town board chose to try to put more detail into our specific town plan and come up with, as you're probably aware, some of the communities when we did the comprehensive plan, some communities did a very extensive town plan, and then you guys as supervisors adopted it into your plan. Some communities use sewer PAC's plan, and that's what the town of Paris did. The town board of Paris did hire a firm of Chicago, Camaros, that did our original land use plan that we operated under to put more detail on that, and they are in the process of doing that. It probably will not be available for the town board to review till sometime in August of this year, but the town is trying to come up with not necessarily, we still don't feel the idea of identifying specific sites is something we can work with. What we're trying to come up with is something similar to what the town of Salem did. They came up with a set of guidelines and policies so that when one of these petitions comes in, the town of Salem has a kind of a sheet that they look to say that does this proposal meet the majority of these 9 items, and that's what we're looking at
okay,
doing.
Great. I appreciate it. It's just when these scenarios come up and they come before us, it's difficult because we see both sides and mm-hmm. we support it as long as there's being action taken so we can try to, you know, circumvent these kind of scenarios in the future. That's what I was trying to look at here mm-hmm. because I want to be cognizant of my constituents and residents and business owners and everybody else, and hopefully we can come to an agreement on that. Thank you for your insights.
Thank you.
All right. So we have had the recommendation from the town. I guess it's... That's right. We have a motion on the floor, and this one does require a roll call vote. Any other questions before I ask for the vote? Seeing none. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Both?
Aye.
Both members vote aye. Supervisor Grable?
Aye.
Decker?
Aye.
Skolinski?
Aye.
Retzliff?
Aye.
Noble, aye. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, which is the same petitioner, we need to take it off the table.
I make a motion to take the number 15 off the table.
Second.
Motion by Decker, second by Supervisor Skolinski, Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Other members of the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
This is item number 14, which was tabled, now removed from the table. It's Becky Holdings, 1520-136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin. Owner, Jeff Backe, 1520-136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Agent, requesting a rezoning from I-1 Institutional District to B3 Highway Business District on tax parcel number 454-221-181-0410 in the town of Paris. We'll put up on the screen the location again, just showing the zoning request. And with that, I wanted to state for the record that this item was originally published in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice on March 27th and April 1st, 2014, and then additionally was published on May 1st and May 6th, 2014. And that will go with the other items that follow that were also tabled.
All right. The petitioner have anything else to add to...
No, I guess it all goes along the same guidelines as our previous conversation.
Right. Correct. Are there any people in attendance that would like to speak in favor? Anybody that would like to speak in favor that hasn't spoken? Anybody that would like to speak against the rezoning? Anybody that would like to speak against the rezoning? Recommendation from the town, Andy?
The rezoning request did go before the town board on February 25th, 2014. A motion was made. Motion carried 2-0.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Goble.
On the question, any questions? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Members of the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you.
We have another item on the table with regards to the same petitioner.
I make a motion to remove item 16 from the table.
Second. By anybody seconding?
I'll second it.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, seconded by Supervisor Goble to take item 16 off the table. All those in favor or Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Item 15. Or item 15 off the table.
16. Oh, I'm sorry.
15.
Oh, I tabled the wrong one last time then.
I know. There's two.
All right. Well, item 15.
Sorry. Item 15. I apologize.
I think even governance.
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
And other members of the committee?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? No one's opposed, so it's off the table, number 15.
Item number 15, just pulled from, untabled. It is Batke Holdings, 1520-136 Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Owner, Jeff Batke, 1520-136 Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Agent, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a resale lot of trucks, large and small farm equipment and construction equipment in the B3 Highway Business District on tax parcel number 454-221-181-0410, located in the town of Paris.
Okay.
Same location as the last two.
Right.
Why are there two conditional use permits? Correct. Right. Do you have any, does the petitioner have any comments with regards to the conditional use permit?
Probably the only thing we really haven't discussed is like in the conditions, there's only 20 items will be allowed on site, and to minimize as much as we can the neighbors viewing, smaller things will be to the west, which is in direct view of two neighbors, and larger things to the east, which there's nobody directly across from. And I believe you had also asked for 1 year for renewal, and I'm completely fine with that also.
So those that are in attendance that we're against know that we have a 1 year. He has to come back after 1 year. So if things are being violated, basically this committee will still be here and we will be able to address it at that time. Any citizens wanting to speak that haven't spoke, either in favor or against? Any citizens in favor or against? Seeing none, Supervisor Decker?
There's a minor correction in the conditional conditions of approval. Under 4A, italicized, it says note C condition number 4 below. That should say C condition number 5 below. So I make a motion to correct that error.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skoliski to correct the error just mentioned. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Members of the committee?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Those against, anybody? Motion carries.
Do we have anything from the town on that?
We do. The town of Paris did act on this on February 25th, 2014. A motion was made to carry the in approval, and it approved 2-0.
Okay.
And the committee added in the 1 year, which the town's probably not opposed to that, I wouldn't imagine.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit with the conditions stated here.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skoliski to approve the conditions of approval. And any comments? Any last, Supervisor Skoliski?
Ms. Becky,
mm-hmm.
This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, right?
And
you've reviewed the conditional use, and there's we've discussed why 1 year, okay?
Correct, yes.
I just want to encourage you to do, you know, make every effort you can to
will do.
Be good neighbors.
Will do.
And hopefully in 1 year when we're having this discussion again, everything has gone very smoothly.
Yep.
But if not, you understand ramifications.
Yep.
Okay.
Totally.
Thank you, and I appreciate all your efforts.
Yep. Not a problem.
Any others? Any other comments? Any other questions? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
And members of the committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. All right. Motion carries. Next item, last item, well, the last.
And then we can have the petitioner sign the conditions with the correction that was made.
The last conditional use is number 16. It's also on the table. Would somebody like to take it off the table?
I make a motion to remove number 16 from the table.
Second. Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skoliski. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Members of the committee?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? The motion is off the table. Petitioner, would you give your name, address, and your...
Yes.
Wait a second, I need to have it read into the record. Andy?
Thank you. Item number 16 is conditional use permit for Becky Holdings, removed from the table. Becky Holdings, 1520 136 Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182, owner, Brett Weiss, JR's Contraptions, 20409 15th Street, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182, agent, requesting a conditional use permit for motorcycle, ATV parts and oil sales, service and outdoor sales display in living quarters for employer or caretaker in the B3 Highway Business District on tax parcel number 454-221-1730210 in the town of Paris. We will show on the screen the exact location of this property, which is on the south side of 142, just east of Highway 45, area highlighted in yellow. And for the record, too, I need to just reemphasize that these items were posted March 27th and April 1st, and then again on May 1st, May 6th.
Can the petitioner please give us a name and address?
Brett Weiss, 20409 15th Street, Union Grove, Wisconsin. I'm asking for the conditional use permit to run a business as far as motorcycle, ATV parts and sales and oil sales. I talked to everyone on the board. They're in favor of it. I've talked to the neighbors. I know that the big issue is always the looks of the property and how it's kept up. We actually have a farm down the road that I believe is probably one of the best looking ones in the county. And my property is just down the road from there also. So as far as the big, concern as far as parts sitting outside, stuff to our parts sitting outside, that will not be happening. It'll all be clean and orderly, and That's the way I like to do things, so.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the committee for the petitioner? Anybody here in favor?
Oh, I'm sorry. Supervisor Skoliski.
So you've been here for most of the discussion, Mr. Weiss, and yep. So you understand our concerns with the conditional use.
Yep.
You have any problems meeting the requirements then in? And in general, the overall sense of what we're trying to do here, and that is, I like to hear the fact that you expressed you like to run things neat and orderly, and that's what we're looking for. We don't expect you to be able to eat off the parking lot, but, you know, run a professional operation, and you'll have success. Any issues there at all?
Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. I would have to agree, you probably do have one of the nicest looking dairies in the county. My father-in-law says you have beautiful cows, too.
That is also true.
Beautiful cows. He says it. I don't know what that means, but in your application, you have something stated about a fitness or exercise, something. I can't
right.
remember the wording. Can you just explain that a little further?
That was actually put into the, from my understanding, long story short, my wife is a certified personal trainer, and we thought if for some reason this didn't go good or whatever, it would be an option of something running that out of. You could do that there also. And as far as the B3 zoning is you could do that. We're not intending on doing that. It was just a thought. So.
Okay, I just wanted clarification. Thank
yep.
you.
And just to add to that, is the B3 zoning district would allow for something like that. It's not part of the conditional use permit, although it would be an additional business to the property that we would need to be aware of if you were to move forward, because it would require a certificate of compliance of things that we would need to look at, potentially like additional parking and things. So that's why that question came up, but it is not part of the conditional use permit.
Any other questions from the committee before I ask for people and the citizens? Any citizens here would like to speak in favor of this petition? Please come forward. Give me your name, address, and your comment.
John Holloway, 15500 Burlington Road. I'm just on behalf of the town. I wanted to make a clarification with Supervisor Decker's question about the physical fitness. It came to our attention that a portion of Brett's application, one page was missing when it was submitted to the town, which included part of that request, and we were not aware of it. And just for clarification, we've discussed this with Brett, and there's no problem. But just for clarification, is that normally when the town of Paris makes a recommendation to the county or to the town board and then to the county, is that we incorporate the petitioner's petition in our recommendation. So we say, you know, that it's per their petition. Because we didn't see that part of it, our recommendation, we're silent on it because we weren't really aware of it. As staff has explained to me, is that it is not part of the conditional use permit, but it might have become part of the discussion if we were aware of it, because it might affect parking and hours of operation and whatnot. But I just wanted, for the record, just wanted to say that the town's recommendation was without knowledge of that possible use. It's just for clarification. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else like to speak in favor?
Jeff Badke, 1520 136 Avenue, Union Grove. This is my current property, and his planned uses are relatively similar to what I currently use it for, and both neighbors on each side, I have one lick of problem with. They're both great people, so I think it'll be a great fit to keep something in that building.
Thank you. Any other people would like to speak in favor?
Ken Monson, 15702 38th Street. Just to make it real clear, the town is supporting this. Brett is a homegrown, not that that matters, but I know he's going to take care of the property. He's talked to the neighbors. They're supportive of what he wants to do, and I don't see that we're going to have a real problem. I know he'll he'll take care of it, and he'll be real professional about what's going on there, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody in favor? Is there anybody here against this petition? Anybody against this petition? Andy, do we have something from the town?
We do. Town of Paris Town Board met on March 25th, 2014. A motion was made. Motion passed 3-0.
Okay, thank you.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit as indicated.
I second that with a minor correction under 4A, where it says note C condition number 4 below. Please, that needs to be number 5 below.
Okay. We got a minor amendment.
He said we
second. We'll do it with it. We'll just do it as one motion. But I just want to comment. I wish actually the way you folks have done this particular, you know, finding somebody to take your property, use your property, and, you know, when you move, I mean, there's, I know of a grocery store, and often in the city, they'll build a new grocery store right next to the old grocery store, and it sits vacant for whoever knows how long. This is the way it should be done. So kudos for that. All right. Youth and governance?
Aye.
Okay. And the members from the committee?
Aye.
Those opposed? Anybody opposed? Nobody? Motion carries. Thank you.
And then we have did he sign the conditional use permit yet? Okay. Okay, so we'll have you sign that. You agree to the conditions. I think that was already mentioned. So we'll have that taken care of.
Now we have the next item on the agenda is certified surveys. We have a couple of them?
We do. We do have a couple certified surveys. One is for Richard S. Pinter. We have an additional one for Burke. And Burke Revocable Trust. And we have a series of conditions on approval for the map, which we would recommend approval for each. One comment that we did want to bring up is, at this point, previously tonight there was mention in regards to on the Burke CSM on the turnaround, and this would be the appropriate time to address that if the committee felt so in accordance with you as a representative for Burke to maybe come up with a time frame or a requirement of when that would occur. They're set to do both, but you can separate them if you want.
Well, does it matter? Can we do them both at the same time?
Yeah, you can do it at the same time.
So I guess with that being said, we're good with the conditions, and maybe you can address it with the committee being for this as to maybe what would be the appropriate method to allow for that improvement to occur, and so that everyone knows what's the trigger for it, sure. And so that we can watch out for it's like, and make sure it gets accomplished.
Right. First of all, I would prefer, again, Jim Howe from the Godfrey Law Firm for the Burke Trust. I would prefer not to do it immediately. I mean, I don't, because the status quo has been the status quo out there for a long time. Nothing would change by approving or even recording a certified survey map. Things would change if we started to build our second house. And I was thinking, while we've been waiting, for example, my client or somebody building a second house brings out a bulldozer, good time to grade the turnaround, good time to grade whatever they need out there. So if it were simultaneous to the issuance of permits for earth moving, for grading, that would be fine. I mean, that would work out well. If you want to call that a group simultaneously with we would need a permit to go out and level and put in the gravel for the turnaround. I'm assuming you're going to look for something. in the way of erosion control.
You might need something from the town, because it's going to be in the town right away.
Right.
I think maybe one suggestion could be that upon issuance of a zoning permit for the second residence, mm-hmm. that the grading and gravel would be installed within X amount of days, 30, 60
perfectly
days.
Perfectly acceptable. Because then, again, equipment would be out there at the same time. I'd rather, you know, not send it out, then send it back, finish, you know, do the turnaround, then send it back, and then have to come out again. And so if that seems very reasonable to me, so.
We would add that to the face of the certified survey map so everyone is aware, and so we would have to make that amendment to the conditions of the CSM that would state that requirement.
Okay.
You need us to make some type of a motion for the special authority, or can you and staff just work that out? Because I agree, upon issuance of the zoning permit within 90 or 60 days, whatever.
I think we need to, if we're agreeing on the zoning permit as a trigger, we can work out the wording, but I think the pertinent part is the zoning permit's the trigger, and then how many days after that for it to be completed. That would be the other.
I think you would well, at least make it 90. I mean, you guys said 30, 60, but that doesn't sound like enough time, I don't think.
We'd appreciate the amount of time. Considering when you would submit an application and you want to take the most of your construction season. Yeah.
90? You're good with 90?
90 would be.
It's not an emergency, no pun intended.
Yeah. So we can make that trigger be the zoning permit issuance, completion of the grading, and the gravel within 90 days. And then we'll add that wording in here. So with the motion to approve, which we would recommend, we would do that subject to all the conditions and that as well.
I make a motion to approve both certified survey maps, including including the conditions that are listed on the maps, plus the wording about the grading based on for the turnaround for the based on the zoning maps, 90 days. And then also I notice in both the maps it is listed as the chairperson as Kimberly Bruning. We need to change that to Doug Noble.
And that is true, as that is one of the conditions, for instance, on number 1B, is to have that changed.
I'll second this. All of it.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, seconded by Supervisor Goble, to approve as read into the record. Is this just we're talking Burke right now?
No, Bull. I made a motion to approve
for
Bull.
Pinter too?
Correct.
All right. Okay. Any questions? Any last final comments? Youth and governance?
Aye.
And members of the county board?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposed? Motion's carry. Thank you. The next thing on the agenda then is approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
The only two members carrying over from the last meeting. Supervisor Decker's motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skolinski. All those. Oh, youth and governance.
Aye.
You were here.
Aye.
And members of the committee.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Minutes are approved. Citizens' comments. Any citizens' comments? We have only one left.
The last man standing.
Any other business allowed by law? The only thing I want to talk about quickly is, you know, we do the 11 o'clock meeting. That's probably not very convenient for me. Andy has talked about, you know, it's not that convenient for youth and governance either. And tonight, it was a long meeting, and it probably would have been a longer. And we spent 2 hours on the phone. So, what is
it? We're getting paid overtime for this, right?
Yeah, right. What does the youth and governance think about that?
Are you speaking of the 11 o'clock Tuesday meetings?
Yes.
So we had actually, I don't need this. Anyway, we had actually discussed in our extension meeting that possibly we need to go into a conference call after school on Tuesdays to discuss the meeting. So that would be something to bring up with the new community governance that are coming next month. I was able to make all the meetings over the summer.
what they're asking for. The majority of these, if you have questions, usually they're addressed in this meeting as well. They can kind of pick up on things. So I would leave that subject to approval to the community governments based on their schedules.
Do you want to wait until discuss this when we get the two new members? Or do you want to do something, just leave it at 11 for now and discuss it?
Tuesday's a good day. Are you looking at a different time?
I would either like to do it during my lunch hour, which is noon, but I'd still continue to do it by phone, or move it till 5 o'clock on Tuesday.
I would say 5 o'clock. I'll be having a commitment starting at noon on that Tuesday now.
Yeah.
The only problem is sometimes that Tuesday is the same night as a county board meeting, like maybe twice a year.
Yeah, but if we have it at 5 o'clock,
other than that, 5 o'clock is fine for me. It could be moved to a different time.
I'm flexible on Tuesday, so.
Mike?
Yeah.
Flexible?
Yeah.
Well, you wanna go to 5 o'clock?
So we're gonna go to the Tuesday before the meeting at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Are we going to hold it by conference? Or
wait, does 5 o'clock work for Andy? Because does he usually leave at 5?
Well, I would stay. I would stay to accommodate the committee. But the thing that we did test out yesterday was the WebEx, which maybe it wasn't quite all smooth, but I think we found out that that's a good solution for someone that can't attend, that at least you can follow on the screen, and certainly you're listening on the phone, so we would continue using that tool.
I mean, does 5 o'clock, is that a good time for you that you're out of work?
Yeah, I get out at 4:30. Okay. Five might be a little tight, but I can get there by like 5 after 5 or something like that. So, want to try 5? We'll see what the new youth and governance think about that. Okay. Well, let's try 5 o'clock.
Okay, so the next meeting in June, we'll have the Tuesday meeting at 5 o'clock, and I do agree, we are always concerned that's going to be June 10th with the youth in government, that we felt that they were always losing or missing a lot without being able to hear the specifics that are talked about on Tuesday. And then tonight you heard a lot. A lot came out during this meeting. Many of the meetings over the last year and a half are very quick, and you missed out on a lot of issues, and we didn't feel very good about that. So we'll work with the 5 o'clock time on that. Three things I did want to say. One is for June, there are three items that we did receive for the board, so not as many as tonight, only three. I wanted to present to the committee, which I did present to the last committee, that we did have to make, we're proposing to make a change to the county zoning ordinance on mobile siting due to the fact that there was the budget was passed by the state that changed the laws for siting mobile towers, and we were required to update our ordinance. And so I'm just informing the committee that according to that, we are going to be moving forward with a proposal that we have completed, and we're going to be looking to present it to the towns and get support of that. And then the committee will hear this in a couple months. The other item that I wanted to mention is next month on the Tuesday meeting, we will have a presentation of the Pike River plan. That plan was completed, and the organization that put it together is looking for support from every community, and we were holding off until the town of Summers approved, which they did, and we were going to bring it before this committee, although we were right in transition between the two committees, so we held off. And so next time we're going to do a presentation of that to then take up in the July meeting for the actual approval. And if that is good by everyone, we will continue with those plans.
Well, you mean we'll be doing it on the Wednesday?
On Tuesday, we'll be doing the presentation to the committee so that you're aware of what's in it. And then the next month is what we were thinking, in July, after you have a chance to read it and digest it, we could then bring it for adoption by the committee. If you want to do it differently, we certainly can. That was kind of our plan.
All the better than to meet at 5.
That's all that I had, other than just to welcome the other two, the two board members back and three board members new to the committee. Look forward to this next 2 years with everybody on board. We started out with a bang, and we'll see how it goes.
There's no way we're down from here. Motion to adjourn. Watch.
I'd like to thank the two youth and governance members that served with us for
can't
the past.
Hear you. Can't hear you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Try again.
Can't hear you.
Please speak up when you speak, okay, Skolitsky? Seriously. I'd like to thank the two youth and governance members that served with us this past year. Your insight was very informative and helpful, and I hope you enjoyed your time. If you need a letter of reference, please feel free to call Skolitsky. No, you can call. You can please feel free to call or email me. I'd be happy to write one. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Who made the motion?
Aye. Oh, Supervisor Zelisky made a motion, seconded by Supervisor Decker. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Yeah, you girls did a good job.